and Mike Show.
Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
You see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left would be radio. That's just for ugly people.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Your discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You know what I wanted to tell you?
Yes.
I almost died today. It's not, it's not really exciting, but technically, if I hadn't done what I did, I would have been hit by a tractor trailer truck today.
Really?
So you know how
was it your cat-like reflexes that saved you?
No, it was my incredible Kreskin-like ESP that saved me today.
Yeah.
You know how we have all that fog today?
Yeah. This morning
it was around really the area. I come up to this intersection, and there are two-lane roads at this intersection, and there's a green light. And it turned green about 5 seconds before I got to the intersection. Mm-hmm. And I looked to my left just, kind of out of habit. Sometimes I cruise through that intersection about 45, 50 miles per hour.
Sure.
And I slowed down, and there was nobody in front of me, and I just looked over to the left, and I see a tractor trailer coming. And I said, he looks like he's going slightly faster, but it was that moment where you make that decision.
You decide if you jump out.
Of course he'll stop because he's got to stop. Look, it's a green light, and it's not like it's just, he's going through a yellow or even a quick red.
Uh-huh.
He's got to stop. So I said, now, I'm just going to stop. And I stopped where the green light was, and a car came up in back of me, and actually, how we play the game, and you get that beep like that. And this tractor trailer went through that intersection without even acknowledging. He was probably going about 70 miles per hour. And I realized that if I had just...
I'd be doing the show by myself today.
It would have been, that one shot on Cops where they show the guys going through the intersection.
Yeah.
That's how fast this guy was going. And I looked at him, and he got midway past me, and I leaned on my horn, and the guy was oblivious, and he just kept going on his merry way. And I don't know whether it was the fog or whether the guy said, he just didn't care or what, but he did not look like he even was aware that there was a major intersection with a traffic light that was red, and it was kind of weird. But it wasn't really like a near miss thing. It was something where I just calmly stopped at the green light, and the guy went just went by me like that. I just remembered that.
I'm glad that didn't happen to you. You would have missed Seinfeld.
I would have missed the finale of Seinfeld.
Man.
Isn't that incredible? But I know you would have done the proper tribute, the proper cheery tribute.
Well, I would have made it a 2-day show.
Sure,
2 days.
Two days, yeah,
cool. Sure.
All right. Well, a half show today.
Half show.
I would still have to do the Jerry Seinfeld bits.
Yes, yeah. I understand that, and I respect you for that.
Hello, Don and Mike Show, and I know you do it the same.
Of course.
Hello.
Don and Mike.
Buddy.
Hey, I faxed you something yesterday. I'm wondering if you guys got it.
Well, golly, we only get about 500 faxes a day.
Oh, you'd have known this one. I pulled this one out of a book. People That Eat People Recipes.
Believe it or not, I think we've seen it before.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it's got like some kind of a recipe for eating pygmies or something.
Well, this had about 15 different recipes. It was pretty gross.
Yeah, no, we've seen it, and it's real recipes, not like a joke thing.
Yeah. Right.
It's real recipes about, so you go over to the Dark Continent or wherever you are, people that you can eat.
All right, thank you for calling, Hannibal.
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Jeffrey.
A census taker. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
A nice slurp.
Mm.
Slurp, slurp.
Ah, yes.
And the best ending of a movie in the world, too, for a horror movie. When he's saying, an old friend is joining me for dinner, and then he just casually walks off after the guy that he's going to eat.
Mm-hmm. It's a great love story. Hannibal Lecter. Mm. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike. Just want to say thanks for all your great shows. You helped me through some hard times, and let me tell you, that's out here in Sacramento. Really appreciate you guys.
Oh, thanks. That's very nice of you to say.
Yeah, just that's it, guys. Keep doing the great show, man. Keep up the good work.
All right, ciao.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, too bad that guy hung up. He could have played our game.
Mm-hmm.
Give him a chance to play. We still have some more of those true or false medical story questions.
Oh, very good.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, this is a first-time caller. I was wondering about yesterday's show. I think I might have found the glitch.
How old are you?
Me, 25.
No way.
You want to bet?
You're a boy.
No, I'm not.
A young boy, chief one hair down there.
No.
No, you're not 25. You're a small child.
No. April 14th, 1973, boy.
Well, listen, boy, anyone can do the math on that, since that's basically the only way that we have to find out.
Okay, so, yeah, you figured out that the age difference was wrong.
What year did you graduate from high school?
Me?
Or did you graduate from high school?
I believe it was 87.
I believe. If it was 1987, and that's 10 years ago.
You're lying.
Yeah, you don't believe when you graduated. You know when you graduated.
Okay.
You would know that, you know, you would say class of, like, class of 77, class of 87.
Well, if I graduated in 77, I mean, I would graduate when I was, like, six. Hello.
Hello.
No, listen. Hello, you said class of 87.
And so that doesn't make
any
sense.
And that is
class of 77.
No, you said class of 87, and 11 years plus that would make him how old, Rob? Hold on. Here's math expert Rob Speedway.
If he was 25, he would have graduated in 92.
Well, there you go.
Okay.
We've poked our hole through your weak story.
Not even close.
I'm sorry, Rob. That was one of those times where I just laughed at you for no reason.
Thank you, Professor Backwards. Rob Spiewak. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
What?
Hi. Hello, hi.
Hey, maybe it was Patrick Swayze's butt driving that tractor trailer.
Oh. Huh? What is that? Oh, you mean because he has a movie out now where he drives a truck?
Yeah, he's got that movie.
Black Dog.
Yes, to me.
God damn it.
Jelly eaters love Black Dog.
What happened to our regular audience?
Mm-hmm.
It's like they bust in a special audience today. They're all in a small bus.
Is that Patrick Swayze behind the wheel?
Hello, Donald Mike.
They're home sitting in front of their TVs.
Just waiting for Jerry Seinfeld. Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, hello, my friend.
How about we'll play a little true-false trivia game?
No, I don't think so. Not with you.
Why not?
I just feel like it, because you didn't know you were on the air. Hello?
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
I heard your radio turned way loud, man.
Way loud.
Way loud.
Wicked loud.
Hello?
Hello there.
All right, you want to play?
Yeah, sure.
What's your name?
Danny.
Danny, buddy, where are you from?
Las Vegas.
All right, now listen, these stories come from the New England Journal of Medicine. And let me see how many we have left. One, two, three, four, five. So, okay, we have six stories left.
Okay.
And it's your guy's job to decide if they're true or if they're false.
Very good.
All right. And this guy on the phone will be playing for a prize.
Excellent. Mm.
So let's see. Here's the first story. And the reason that the New England Journal of Medicine wrote this article was because there's so many fake stories going around about emergency room and medical stuff.
Yeah. They even fabricate, like, x-rays where you'll see something. They actually do that now, too.
Right. So they actually went through some of these stories. And what it is it's validation that some of them are true and that some of them are false. Right.
Because, you know, you always hear about the complaining about paperwork in hospitals. They document everything that happens.
For instance, I'll give you this one as an example. One that everybody's heard that, according to the New England Journal of Medicine, is not true.
Okay.
In Kentucky, a woman complained of a purple discharge from her vagina. She thought it might have something to do with a diaphragm her doctor had recently given her. I followed all the instructions to the letter, she said, and used it with the jelly. When asked what kind of jelly, she said, grape. Right?
A good story, but not a true story.
Not true. That was just an example.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's your first story. The headline, baby chicken.
All right.
A 15-year-old woman was brought into a New York emergency room complaining of abdominal pains. During an examination, doctors found the woman's labia were pinned together with old safety pins. Further, they found the dismembered body of a chicken. The woman explained she literally the chicken pieces convinced that they would grow into a baby. Is that true or false? Mike.
I'm going to say false.
All right. Buzz.
I'll say false.
All right. Now you on the phone, Danny.
Yes.
What do you think?
I got to say true.
True. Danny, you are wrong.
Oh,
Mike and Buzz are correct.
Danny was wrong. Danny.
That is an urban legend. What is that? Danny Shack?
Yes, Danny.
You threw me off with the jelly.
Jelly. Well, you know, he was just giving that as an example.
Yeah.
All right, now here's another one for you guys. I don't remember if we had this one before. Growing season. An old woman in a North Carolina ER complained of green vines growing from her vagina.
Yes, you had that one already.
Oh, investigation revealed a large potato in her womb.
That's right, potato.
The woman remembered she did it 2 weeks previously because she thought her uterus was falling out.
And wasn't that true?
That was true. All right, here's another one for you. This one is called prickly pear.
All right.
In Michigan, a man came into the ER with lacerations to his penis. He complained that his wife had harassed her vagina, and it bit him during sex. After an examination of his wife, it was revealed she had a surgical needle left after her recent hysterectomy.
Oh.
Mike, true or false?
I'm going to say true.
Yeah. Buzz.
True.
Danny.
I got to say true.
True. Guys?
Hey! Yeah. Oh, man.
Yes, it's correct.
Way to go. Modern medicine. All right. Leave the needle in there.
All right. You won one prize, Danny.
Okay.
All right. Here's another one. I don't know what the prize is yet.
Good luck, Danny.
I got a whole list of prizes. Oh, here it is. Pay-per-view of In-N-Out. Okay? Movie with Kevin Klein and Joan Cusack, who incidentally... I'd do in a second.
You've always had the hots for ever since the Addams Family movie.
Push Up Bra.
Mm-hmm.
Except I probably have to close my eyes because she looks so much like her brother. It's spooky. That's In-N-Out on pay-per-view. Call to order.
Good movie.
All right, here is your next story. Sex education. A California doctor examining a young woman with abdominal pains asked if she was sexually active. She said she was not. A later examination showed she was pregnant. Asked why she said she was not sexually active, the woman replied, "I'm not. I just lie there." They asked if she knew who the father was, and with a puzzled look, she replied, "No. Who is it?" All right, is this a true or a false story, Mike?
True. I'm going to say true. I believe the people would be that stupid.
Buzz.
I'm saying true also.
Danny.
I'm going to say false.
Danny, correct.
Way to go, Danny!
Because Mike and Buzz, that is not a true story.
Oh. I'm sure you could find something like that that's close.
Yeah. I'm sure you could, but in that particular instance...
It's not true.
All right, let me see. Do I have... Oh, I think I have two more.
All right. Way to go, Danny.
Okay, thank you.
Two more. Danny, you've won something else. I'm not sure what it is, though. Last stand. A Cambridge man walked into the ER complaining of a permanent erection. He admitted to doctors that while on holiday in Cuba, he frequented many brothels, and in one he was given erectile cream to keep hard.
Mm-hmm.
He was told to use it sparingly. However, since he was having so much fun, he kept using more and more. By the time he came to the ER, all the blood vessels in his penis were swollen, and his testicles had ballooned in size.
Oh.
Doctors could do nothing except prescribe painkillers and told him it would return to a flaccid state in a few days. They told him to enjoy his erection while it lasted, because most likely it would be his last.
Ooh. Oh, ooh, man.
Ooh. What?
Wow.
And the question now is, Mike, is that real or simply an urban legend?
I think that's true, Don.
Buzz.
Just on a gamble, I'll say false.
Danny.
I gotta say false.
Danny, Buzz.
Ah!
It's true, Mike.
I was right.
It's absolutely true.
Wow.
You're not paid to be a canary. Well, Viagra stock just went down.
I'll tell you something, Mouse. I went there, and they gave me this stuff, and I put so much on there, and then, now I'm never going to get one again.
Rubber cement. All right, here's the last one, guys.
All right,
last one. Did I give you this one? You know what? I take it back. I got two left.
Okay.
Ooh.
I got two left. This one's called Klingons Around Uranus.
Mm-hmm.
A 20-year-old man came into a San Francisco ER with a stony mass in his... Hey, everybody, stony mass with you.
It's the stony mass show.
He said he and his boyfriend were fooling around with concrete mix when his boyfriend had the idea of pouring the mix into his anus using a funnel.
Mm-hmm.
The concrete then hardened, causing constipation and pain. Mm-hmm. Under general anesthesia, a perfect concrete cast of the man's rectum was removed, along with a stray ping pong ball. Mike.
I'm going to say false.
Buzzy.
True.
Danny.
I think I've heard this one. I'm going to say true.
Guys.
It is true.
Oh, I was wrong.
Sorry, Mike.
I was wrong. I couldn't imagine someone pouring concrete mix into one's...
No. Well, the hit was San Francisco. All right, so Danny, you won three prizes now, I think.
Okay.
And here's the final story.
Way to go, Danny.
Thank you.
This one is called Call the Bum Squad. A World War II veteran came into a London clinic with a hemorrhoid problem. One painful pile would often hang down, and he was in the habit of pushing it back up with an artillery shell. On this occasion, the shell got stuck. Doctors were going to remove it, but then he told them the shell was still live.
Oh, man.
The hospital called in the Army Bomb Disposal Squad, and they built a lead box around the man's anus to defuse the shell,
God.
And then it was removed. All of that to push in his hemorrhoid.
Man.
Mike, is that true or false?
False.
Buzz.
False.
Danny.
False.
Guys.
Oh!
True story.
True story. Oh.
True story.
The bomb squad, because he had hemorrhoids.
And he was pushing them in with an artillery shell.
Oh,
my.
It's going to blow. Yeah, run for your lives.
That was a pretty good session of medical true or false.
And bravo.
Yeah. Who would think? Who would think we'd get such a good bit from the New England Journal of Medicine?
What's great about that is the other day there were a lot of them, I think, that were true. And I couldn't believe that they were true. But towards the end, they were really mixed up and you really don't know. I mean, it's amazing. He'll never have to worry about his hemorrhoids again.
Well, listen, Danny,
yes.
you get three prizes. Some of them, I'm sure, are going to be made of plastic.
Hey, you guys are great.
And we're going to put you in the running also for our big Monday, June 1st show, where you'll have a 1 in 50 chance to win $5,000 that could pay off all your credit cards.
Fantastic.
Beautiful. That's courtesy of Advantage Title.
All right.
Thank you, Danny. Buddy.
Thank you.
Hold on a second.
Man, I love those stories. I really do. Yeah, well, they were painful, so I took an old artillery shell, and I thought I'd pop them back in.
That's good. I don't know who our source is that sent us that stuff, but keep sending it.
Thank you. It's some doctor. It's some hip doctor.
That's good.
All right.
Oh, that's good. What a great article. And the preamble to the article is all of this stuff saying that there's so many stories going around now.
Sure.
That this is a way to soothe your patient's nerves. To say, listen, there's all kinds of stories about things that happen. But look, here are the real things that happen.
Yeah, and maybe you could, the true ones, give that to a patient right before they're going in for surgery. Yeah.
Hello, Don Mike Show.
Hey, I was just not too happy about having to follow that. But are you guys going to be watching that ridiculous Greg and Dharma show now that your friend Yardley Smith is a regular on it?
All right, let's be specific. Not our friend Yardley Smith, although she's been on the show. She's a good guest of the show.
Mm-hmm.
She's a private thing with Buzz Burbank.
Yeah. Buzz has the super, super steaming undies for Yardley Smith.
Well, I like her, and she said I could call her my friend.
Has she taken them clamming?
Clamming. She's the voice of Lisa Simpson on the Simpsons. And you want to know something? I never watched that show, Dharma and Greg.
Mm-hmm.
Never. I mean, I tuned it in for 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Much like the way I tuned in the Ellen show last night.
Right.
I stayed long enough to know that it blew.
Oh, it was so terrible.
Wait, you had to turn it on to know that, then?
It worked so hard. Hard to be not funny.
Well, here's the thing. I was going to give her the benefit of the doubt and say, all right, I'll buy into this whole thing that she's been a star for 50 years, and she's like trying to goof on Hollywood.
Right.
Okay, I'm in on that. I would like an inside joke,
mm-hmm.
even though I'm not inside Hollywood.
Right.
Jokes.
But I get jokes. Thank you, sir. I get jokes. But it was awful, and what a waste of real talent. Like, she had a bunch of great guest stars, like Helen Hunt. All right, Tim Conway.
Glenn Close.
B. Arthur.
Glenn Close.
Phil Donahue.
I saw the B. Arthur segment, and I'll tell you something. You could have B. Arthur with that little black lighting in the background where it's a dark background and have her just talking to the camera, and that, to me, could be a series unto itself.
Do you get squishy and buttery, too?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, so you were doing the same thing. I was flipping over during the breaks in the hockey game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was bad, and I saw the part with Phil Donahue, and it's all done like documentary style. Right. So he's sitting in a room with a one light behind him, and he says, let me tell you about Ellen. I was on Ellen's show, and I was warming up. I was the warm-up comedian.
Right.
And then suddenly in the audience, somebody said something, and I said, hey, I went over with my microphone and talked to them, and Ellen got me a talk show. Like, I'm watching this going, huh?
Not funny. There's not a laugh.
Huh?
Yeah, but you watched it just for the hotties. I mean, you know, when Ellen and Linda Ellerbe are the two hosts, you know.
Linda Ellerbe.
Butter.
That woman's got a hairy stomach. I know it. We've said it for many years. You know who's a hottie who I watched, who at least I think is a hottie, although she has kind of a horse face,
mm-hmm.
is, what's her name from Chicago Hope?
Oh, Christine Lottie.
Yeah.
You got the hots for Christine Lottie?
She got some major league yabos.
She's one of those good days, bad days women.
Oh,
I think.
Christine Lottie has been on my hottie list for a long time. I remember
her. She's in a bathing suit. You can see the saddle marks on her side.
Oh, will you stop it, please?
Go away, you.
What are you doing? Go get your own show. She looked good, though. She looked good last night on Ellen.
Yes. You like Lottie.
Mm. Well, I like what she's got.
See, I think Lottie's in the same, almost in the same ballpark with Nora from our show Days of Our Lives.
Listen, Nora, Mike, is... Nora is an animal. Nora is nuts. Bo Buchanan's wife on One Life to Live.
Oh, I think she's an attractive older woman.
I wouldn't do her with Rob Spiewak's thing. I wouldn't. And he, sorry, Rob. And he says to me the other day in the office, this will be, I guess, pretty sad for you to know that we do the same
in the office.
We do the same. I had to delete myself.
Take yourself at home.
I had to delete myself.
Oh, that's like, that reminds me of the old days.
Yeah.
You know, that tells me we're on a roll when you do that, that's for sure.
We do the same stuff in
right.
the office.
Yeah. Same stuff.
As we do on the show.
We do indeed.
I just said the S word. We were actually playing Who Would You Do in the Office while we were watching the soap opera.
Right.
Hey, I said the S word.
Yes.
Hey, did you hear that on the telephone?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. You're the only one that heard it besides Mike and Buzz and Rob.
Oh, cool.
All right, did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I was waiting to ask Don about that. If he was going to beat himself.
Yeah, he did. So we're sitting in the office, and Mike says, who would you do? Nora Buchanan, who's this old tired cow.
You immediately said that.
Too. Or Susan Lucci.
Right.
Now, listen, La Lucci, you know, is way up there, too, but listen... There's no contest between Susan Lucci and Nora Buchanan.
You know, maybe it's because one time I saw Nora on a plane coming back from Los Angeles, and I got to see her up close and personal. And, you know, it's still, you know, we're radio and they're TV, so it's still that kind of star thing.
Mile High Club.
And she got a huge ass.
She doesn't have a huge ass.
She has a huge ass. You know it. She has a Dutch boy haircut.
I like her haircut. I like her red hair, her fiery red hair.
And that hair is not really red. I don't know how to tell you that. Anybody that watches One Life to Live, you know this Nora Buchanan. She's fuggly.
I like Nora. I do like Nora. You know, when you consider that show, with the women that are on that show, the older women, and then I modified it, and I took La Lucci out of it, although I still might actually choose Nora over La Lucci.
You're crazy.
But then I modified it to go with Dorian Lord or Nora.
And then I said I'd do Nora.
Nora was the winner in that battle.
So I guess that was the sad point I was trying to make there, is that all this same stuff that we do on the show, we do it in the office even when we're not doing the show.
Absolutely, because it's fun.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
I can't believe I said the S word. Hello.
Hey. Am I 100th caller?
Buddy, are you 100th caller?
Yeah.
Oh, you must be calling from Rochester or something.
I guess.
Are you?
No.
Well, that would be your only possible reason, because the show's on a one-hour delay in Rochester, so a lot of times when we do a contest, people call in like an hour later because they think it's live.
Yeah, if you're not calling from Rochester, it might very well be a very, very dumb mistake.
No, I like Dilly.
I think you just pulled a big boner. And I love that they used to say that back in the 50s.
That's right. Follow-ups, bleeps, and boners.
Boners.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I want to play the name game.
I don't know, sir.
Oh, no?
No.
Oh, man, come on.
Listen, I don't take any offense at this.
I'm not taking offense.
I know already you're a pretender to the crown. You're a guy. I would bet you couldn't go three names deep.
That depends on the name.
We have to have worthy contestants battling us.
We have had probably five in the whole time we've been doing the name game. Five people that have called in and have gone deep into the name game.
Well, if you're scared, say you're scared.
Oh, listen, I'm not scared of you, Cletus. I'm just worried about doing another old, tired bit that the audience will not listen to because the person that calls in can't keep it going past the first name.
See, the name game really now is at a stage, it's at its floundering stage, where it really requires that the individuals calling in for it don't do it just because they want to do something, but they really know how to play the game. So you really have to know that you can be adequate at this game.
I feel that I can be very adequate at it.
No, you don't.
I don't?
No, you don't.
Oh, you don't believe that, do you?
Now you're inside my head?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I know. We'll destroy you. All right, let me display. Buzz?
Yes, the name is George.
George Burns.
George Costanza.
George Herman Ruth.
George Takei.
George Hamilton.
George Washington.
George of the Jungle.
George Papard.
Captain George.
Who's Captain George?
He's a cartoon from the 70s.
No, I never heard of him.
Never heard of him myself. Buzz,
no,
ever
no,
hear of him?
Haven't.
Well, as predicted, there you go. You didn't even make three.
See?
All right, Curious George.
Hmm.
And now listen, you be quiet. Don't you pipe in now. You've already proved that you can only go too deep.
Okay.
George Brett.
All right, good one. George McGovern.
George Washington.
He had it.
Jeez. George Washington Carver.
George Young. General manager of the New York Giants. Mike, we know that he's a big Giants fan.
George.
Mike? George Jefferson?
George Michael, the singer.
All right, then I'll say George Michael, the TV sports guy.
All right.
And I'm still George Jefferson and George Allen.
George.
That's two Georges ahead of you. And I'll give you a George magazine. George. And then I got King George, like, you know, King George. And then I got...
All right, you're King of George! King of the Georges! Stop it!
I got Boy George.
Boy George. King of the Georges.
Thank you, George O'Dowd.
Oh.
George Goober Lindsay.
George Goober. Look at that. Hey, you, Savant.
Amazing.
Savant on the Georges.
Thank you.
Very good.
And you, sir, you should be ashamed with your tail between your legs.
All right, well, thanks for letting me play. I appreciate it. It's the first time I've ever gotten through, and I just wanted to play with you guys.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time.
Well, I appreciate it. You guys are great.
George Went.
George Went.
Tell us, George.
Chicken by George.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I'd like to talk to Don and Mike.
You are on the air. Hello.
How y'all doing?
Great, thanks.
Hey, did I just hear you use the word S-H?
No, it was S-T-U-F-F.
No, you didn't. I just had to delete that out just like I deleted you out when you spelled it.
Stop that.
You can't do that.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Oh, God.
Everybody's cussing now. You know, but it's a different group now. We've moved into a different group.
I know. It's Jerry Seinfeld's fault.
That's exactly what it is.
Everybody's very upset. We're all very upset with Jerry.
Jerry,
we're effing upset with effing Jerry.
Jerry, they do the same ass in the office.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Anywho, last night we're playing poker, right? As usual, I'm winning and not realizing it. And Lenny says that I'm... get this. A little slow. How come you're not laughing? Do you think I'm slow?
We don't think you're slow. But on the other hand, it's not like you go to museums or read books or anything.
You think I don't want to? It's those TV networks, Marge. They won't let me. One quality show after another, each one fresher and more brilliant than the last. If they only stumbled once, just gave us 30 minutes to ourselves. They won't. They won't let me live. Oh, who am I kidding? I am slow.
Oh, honey. If you feel so bad about yourself, there's always things you can do to feel better.
Take another bath and more liquor?
There's that. Or you can take an adult education course.
Oh, and how is education supposed to make me feel smarter? Besides, every time I learn something new, it pushes some old stuff out of my brain. Remember when I took that home winemaking course and I forgot how to drive?
That's because you were drunk.
And how?
The Don and Mike Show.
It's the best of Don and Mike.
Listen, here's something I want to discuss.
Yes.
I was reading in the newspaper today. Now, here's something that I know there's a large percentage of our audience that can deal with.
Right.
It's about tobacco. Mm-hmm. And it's about chewing tobacco.
Ooh, bad stuff.
Now, I was reading an article about all the baseball players that do this and how they're trying to get baseball players to stop.
Yeah, Joe Garagiola is very active in that.
And the article goes on. Yeah, he was mentioned in this article, Joe Garage Door Opener.
God, goes nuts over it.
And as a matter of fact, Joe Garage Door Opener was quoted as saying he's done research where there were people who needed it so bad.
Yeah.
That, now, listen to these examples cited by Joe Garagiola.
Mm-hmm.
Some people put chewing tobacco between their toes. Some people put chewing tobacco in their armpits. Some women put chewing tobacco down there, of which we do not speak, inside.
I would think that there would be a burn factor.
Well, this article led me to believe that it gets into your system quicker.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I can't imagine that just put in your mouth and suck it on it wouldn't make it get into your system fast enough.
Imagine if they sold it that way. You have a lady, you know, sitting there on TV. And you know something? It really feels comfortable in there.
I'm sure someone will call us who's done it. I'm sure we'll have some people goofing with us and not being honest about it. But this article sure did make it seem like it's a pretty much a way of life.
Nicotine, right? That's the that's the drug that people get addicted to. Yeah. Like cigarettes.
There's a lot of girls who don't want to be seen with smokeless tobacco in their mouth, so they either go to the feet, the armpits, or they, you know, they really get off on it. They put it down in the bad cave.
I guess that would get it to the bloodstream quicker than anything else.
Yep. Wow, faster than the mouth, you think?
I don't know.
Yes, I think so.
Don't you have the same? I mean, I know obviously it's not the same, but don't you have, you know,
soft tissue you're talking about? Yeah.
Lots of juices and stuff.
Yeah.
Mouth juices.
Yeah, if you're talking about nerve endings, you know, down there probably be a little more sensitive.
Yeah, it was a good article. I should bring it in and read it to you, because they described how gross it is to chew tobacco.
Well, I saw Joe Garagiola on some baseball show where he was going around to different ballparks with, you know, one of these guys that had half his face going, you know, going, I don't believe you. You know,
don't chew it. Don't chew the tobacco.
And it was pretty nasty
stuff.
Yeah,
they had some pictures in this article, too. Yeah. Right, yeah. Guys like Honus Wagner, all these old-time baseball guys.
Terrible death. Terrible death. And he's Joe Garagiola.
Big brown mouths.
Big brown mouths.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Baldy.
Hey, I want to know if there are going to be rules to call in. You can't say who's doing who. You can't do the... Are you guys... You're spoiling all the fun for the show. You know, you've got people that want to call in and ask these stupid, same old questions.
Honey, listen. What do? You listen to the show for what, 15, 20 minutes at a crack? And it's amusing to you? Try standing here for 4 hours when people over and over call in. That's why we had to set these limitations on our telephone calls.
Well, what can we do? Tell us what we can do.
You can continue to sit on your chewing tobacco.
Well, I don't do
it. All right, listen, I don't want to throw out topics because that's lame. But today I would be willing to discuss Phil Hartman.
Oh.
Right? Okay.
I didn't know him.
Women who put chewing tobacco in their...
Oh, don't know anybody like that.
Many, many topics that we're open to besides the same old five or six things that, you know, we appreciate the fact that you like that about the show. But if that's all we did on the show, I guarantee you'd turn the show off in an instant.
Well, but I like the name game, so you guys have to decide when you want to do it and when you don't. Is that correct?
We did it yesterday, just me and Mike did a couple of times.
Well, you just did it because somebody threw a name of Garrett out there, and all of a sudden it's just like Garrett. I mean, it wasn't even, I don't think anybody even asked to participate, and I think it was just something you came up with,
that,
isn't it?
You know, I appreciate the fact that you're enjoying the show.
I am. I enjoy it so much I call in. See, now all my people in Kansas are going to hear me, and they know my voice.
Oh, you're in Kansas. I thought this was Marge Schott on the phone.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I thought you have a very lovely voice, just like Mrs. Schott.
She is. I don't even know who she is. That's beside the point.
How many packs a day you smoke?
Oh, hey, how did you know that?
I don't know. I'm Kreskin.
Yes.
Oh. What was that? Well, honey, what was that? What was that? What was that sound?
Oh, I was just laughing to myself.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God.
I was laughing to myself. It was like, you know, that
like a blowhole you got going there.
Oh, wow.
What the hell is that?
Hey, and you know what?
Scary.
I got a picture of you guys, and you guys are really good-looking guys. Now,
God bless
you. I don't know how old this picture is.
Your eyes must be going, too.
But you, Don,
yes,
look like this guy that runs these radio stations out here. His name is Old Mike. I mean, you look just exactly like him.
Wonderful comment. Thank you, Mrs. Schott.
And why am I Mrs. Schott?
Well, you sound a little bit like the lovely, the beauteous Marge Schott.
Marge Schott. And tell Rod, don't be doing that in the background.
Boy, you got a lot of... You want to run the show? You want to fly out here to Washington?
I would love...
She's a good listener. She listens every day.
I am. I am a good listener because, for one, by me listening, I've learned so many terms that I didn't even know.
What are you wearing right now?
And I am... I'll be...
Hey, 40, baby.
I'll be 45 tomorrow.
Baby.
But I'm not going to ask for no spanking because, see, I can't be oohing and aahing for 45.
Baby. Who's the celebrity you most resemble?
Oh, gosh. I don't think I resemble a celebrity.
I'm going to guess Kiss My Grits. What was her name? Flo?
Who's
that? I'm going to try Jack Klugman.
I look like Frida.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe after she's got a ton of dirt on her.
You said she was beautiful. I look like Frida.
What are you wearing right now?
Shorts.
Just shorts?
That's all.
Short shorts?
I like short shorts.
Hot pants?
Are you really just wearing shorts right now?
No.
Are you wearing...
My child will be home from school. I'm fully clothed.
You're a parent?
I'm a parent.
Mm-hmm. Single parent, or is there a wonderful guy who's coming home
tonight?
There's
a wonderful guy that's coming home to me.
How does your kid feel about the secondhand smoke?
Oh, well, they don't like it very well. And how do you know about secondhand smoke?
Just your kids ever put their fingers in your blowhole?
And where is that?
Nothing that you were making that noise out of before.
Oh, that was out of my mouth.
Oh, it was?
Ooh.
Make it. Go on, make it again.
Do it for us.
Wow. You like that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Love that baby.
Turn
it up.
Love that baby.
You're all right. You guys have a good day.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, sweetie.
Bye-bye. There she goes. She's a real vision.
Broomhilda. Thank you.
Wonder what kind of shorts they were.
Hello.
Hey.
Donna Mike Show, but they're brown.
Is this me?
Brown corduroy. Brown corduroy cutoffs.
Yeah.
Hello.
Donna Mike?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, I love you guys.
Thank you.
My name's Rachel. I'm calling from the Eastern Shore.
Hi, Rachel.
How are you?
Great, thanks.
I have a new word for you.
Uh-huh.
All right. You know how whenever you start talking about a woman's, down there? And you always sort of, hesitate a little bit.
Sure.
New word. Her in-betweens.
Her what?
Her in-betweens.
That's what my mom used to say when I was little. She'd say, now, did you clean your in-betweens when you take a shower?
Her in-betweens.
It's funnier when you hear your mom describe it.
Your in-betweens.
So I thought you guys might like that one. You won't have to hesitate anymore. You'll have a word.
All right, your in-betweens. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I love the women that call these show. I
Hello.
Really do.
Hey, Donna Mike Show.
Hey, if they're chewing with their in-betweens, how do they spit?
Well, listen, I have many questions that are unanswered on this topic. All I know is that I read the Joe Garage Door Opener said women were putting smokeless tobacco down there.
Well, they chew on straws, too, while they do that and have the spit kind of go out the straw. I was thinking there could be a...
You think it's the dip itself or the pouches? That's what I'd want to know if they go with the actual stuff. That is the nastiest stuff you'll ever want to see.
Hello?
Huh?
Hi, Donna Mike Show.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Baldy.
Hey, Baldy. How's it going?
Fine.
Pretty good?
Yeah.
All right. I just wanted to talk about, the calf game.
How old are you?
Me?
Yes.
I'm 17.
Oh, one of our...
Don't die.
Sound like that woman. You can make that sound.
That was a conscious decision to share that with you. I have a button I can press.
Sure. More of that. Yeah.
See, I could mute that.
You could prove it by just going la.
La.
You can hit it at a moment's notice.
But I shared that with you.
You're too young to be calling.
Our beautiful audience. I love sharing everything with you guys. And, don't call us for another year, Chief One Hair.
Another year? That's messed up.
Right. Chief One Hair down there. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I was wondering, could you take tobacco as a suppository?
Well, I mean, if a lady can put it down there, then you could do the same thing with, anywhere.
Yes. Hell, we had a story out a couple of weeks ago about some guy that took a... one of those shells from World War II.
Right.
And actually had it lodged by.
Wasn't he trying to solve a problem, though? Wasn't he actually using it to push back his hemorrhoids?
Yeah.
Why do I remember these things?
That's a great story. That was from the New England Journal of Medicine, and I have a shout-out to them. Crazy doctors. Hello. Hey, Donna Mitchell. Hi there.
I just thought I'd shed some light on your absorption of nicotine through the mucous membrane question.
Uh-huh.
When you're chewing tobacco, you're actually absorbing most of the nicotine through the area, the mucous membrane underneath your tongue and your gums, rather than swallowing it. You swallow some of it. You don't really absorb that very quickly in the body. So when you're putting it in the in-between area,
do you notice how many people have seized upon that to describe it?
The in-betweens.
You're in-between.
That's locked and loaded on that one. Anyway, that's also mucous membrane. So I would think that you'd absorb it just as quickly. And also as a suppository, that's why suppositories are used, because it's a very quick of administration.
Sure. Thank you, doctor.
Lots of medicine.
Thank you. Are you really a doctor?
I'm a dentist.
A dentist?
Yeah, I know a lot about oral tobacco.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. I've diagnosed a lot of lesions.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's yum, yum.
Oh.
I bet you don't bite your nails, though, do you? Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I just got cut off. I was wondering about the tobacco down there, if it would cause skid marks that would not be able to be washed out.
You had to call back for that? Didn't one of our screeners already hang up on you when you said that?
No.
No, yeah, you weren't disconnected. Somebody hung up on you, buddy.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, really.
You got to slam a little harder so you can tell because it sounded like it was...
Right. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Oh, my God, I got through?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. I'm going to ask you a question. I've never done this before. I listen to you guys every day. I've been listening to you since you've been on the other station.
Thank you.
Okay, and I'm not listening to my radio, so I'm just listening based on you. I wanted to ask a question. I noticed that for men, that they think that lesbians are hot and everything.
100%.
So why can't girls think that gay guys are hot?
Because it's gross, man.
So what's the difference?
Listen, it's the wonderful double standard in our society that it's acceptable to see two naked women groping each other, but if you see two men doing it, you know, unless you're a fag, you're not into it.
That's just the way things work. I mean, we didn't make the rules.
Well,
we're just loving it the way that it is.
Well, a lot of women think differently.
You mean a lot of women feel that gay men...
like that.
Wait, no, explain that to us. You mean a lot of women feel that seeing two gay men together is... that's erotic?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Where would you go to get that?
You can go to certain video stores, especially in D.C. I'm in Silver Spring. And I know a lot of people like that.
Are these straight women or gay women that do this?
Straight women. I'm straight. I'm married.
And you like to see men do it with each other?
Yeah. I like to read about it.
Really?
You're a freak. That's what you are.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. You're a big-time freak, lady.
Well, thank you.
Well, I'm just having fun with you.
I know.
Freak.
Freaks that carry your luggage up to the room.
Well,
some people would say some of the stuff you're into is kind of freaky, too.
Really? I don't like watching fags.
Well, I didn't think that you're a homophobe. I didn't think you're a homophobe.
I'm not a homophobe. Just because I called them fags?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just being goofy.
Okay, can I ask you one other question?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, because I also noticed that you make fun of Jewish people. You don't have anything against them, do you?
No, we make fun of a lot of people on the show.
We have said for years and years we are an equal opportunity offender. See, that's what makes it equal. Everybody is offended on this show.
Have you never heard it when we make fun of blacks or when we make fun of Asians or when we make fun of Catholics?
I've heard that. I'm just trying to make it clear in my own head so I can listen to you and not feel like I want to kill.
Why? What has made you feel like you want to kill?
I don't know.
I think you were overly offended by the freak comment.
Nah.
Don meant that only in jest.
In the nicest possible way.
I know.
And you reacted to that because nobody likes to be called a freak, I guess, right?
Right.
But I mean, our own experiences, I must tell you, heterosexual women that I have known and my wife, and I don't see...
They don't like it.
I don't see them getting into that. I think perhaps you are not in the vast majority.
No, we're not in the vast majority, but it's like, I mean, not just any guys. They have to be cute. I guess it's that we imagine that we're the other guy, except we're the woman doing it.
Well, listen, maybe it's a Jewish thing.
Nah, I don't think so. Nah, as a matter of fact, I'd probably, like, you
really want to kill now, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Really.
That's what I don't get.
I've heard worse from you guys.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah. That's wonderful. Thank you.
I don't mean it bad. I mean, I actually think you guys are very imaginative with what you come up with. I really do.
I think you're all kinds of problems. That's what I think. I'd love to be the psychologist to sit down with you. But you're a wonderful lady. Thank you for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I thought that went well.
There she went.
There she goes.
Speaking for the Jewish community and also for the community of women who enjoy watching films of two men going at it.
Now, see, nothing would make us happier now than to get lots of calls from women saying, yes, yes. No. You know, and then we all of a sudden we discover a trend that we weren't aware of.
It won't happen. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Yes, I just wanted to tell that woman that just called that she is sick.
Oh, dear.
Not all women get into that.
Well, she didn't say all women get into that.
Well, she said there are women out there. I just can't believe that.
Mike, that's why the word freak jumped off my lips.
I understand that.
That was, yes, and freak was A number one.
When the word freak came out of your mouth, you could not suppress your desire to just demonstrate your right-thinking American tendencies.
To label her as a freak. If only I had my branding iron.
Yes, freak. I had to call and just say... She is a freak.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Hello. Hello there. Donna Mike Show.
Hi. The word that came close to me was barbaric.
with watching gentlemen go at it. It's not going to work.
We're getting some interesting responses to this.
Who's this, Janet Reno? Listen to the voice on this lady.
Huh?
Hey.
But Eric. Yeah.
It's not that bad.
I find that absolutely barbaric.
Well, thank you for calling.
Oh, charmed.
Charmed. That's the barbarians.
Bye-bye. Hello, Don Mike Show.
Yeah, how you doing?
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, I got a great idea for you. I'm going to make millions. I want you in on it. You ready?
Oh, sure.
It's the tobacco pad.
Was it a combination? Right, a chewing pouch and your Stay Free maxi pad.
From the makers of Skull.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, I'm Walt Garrison.
And I'm Kathy Rigby.
That's it.
For the first time. And you do the commercial like when they'd be walking down a hall together, much like the peanut butter and chocolate commercial. Yeah. Where they're walking, hey, you got chewing tobacco on my maxi pad.
Yes, that's right. We've combined the convenience of a sanitary napkin with the great nicotine enjoyment of smokeless tobacco. Yeah.
Just put a pinch between your thighs.
And you know, it really feels comfortable down there.
Why does everybody remember that commercial? It was Walt Garrison of the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, he's bull riding, right? He's doing a bull riding thing.
Yeah, and then at the end, he's like the worst actor in the world for smokeless tobacco, like during the NFL Today when we were kids.
Hi, I'm Walt Garrison. And you know, it really feels comfortable in there.
Just a pinch between your cheek and gills. Hello, Donna Mike.
Hello.
Hello.
Two men going at it? No way. She's more than a freak.
I am very interested in the number of women that are calling to demonstrate that they, that old thing, he doth protest too much. I'm wondering if, maybe they're suppressing their...
Strikes a nerve with a bunch of people, sure, Mike, with a bunch of right-thinking Americans.
Maybe these are angry women that are saying, I'd love to see that.
Well, now, here's a woman who's watched videos like that. Here's Tracy. Hello.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi.
I had a bachelor party at my house, and we got videos, and they happened to be all of men doing men. And there was about 7 or 8 of us, all in our mid-20s, and we did not get disgusted with it, and we actually watched all of the videos.
All right.
Oh, wow.
And
all right.
Actually, one of the girls took the video home and shared it with her husband. And I'm married, and with my husband, he was kind of freaked out by it. And
all right, listen, maybe a woman could sit down and watch that, but no right-thinking guy is going to sit down and look at that and go, yeah, baby.
Rob Spiewak applauding in the background.
Thank you, Roberto. Thank you.
All right.
All right, and thank you for calling, you freak. Bye-bye.
Okay, no problem. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Gentlemen, I was wondering how much tobacco would it take for B. Arthur's vagina?
4 acres. All of the tobacco in the Fuente growing fields of Nicaragua, or wherever the hell they are.
That's not the smokeless kind, Don, though. You'd have to make a cigar out of her.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. I'd like the Beatrice Arthur in-betweens, please.
Oh, yes, sir. They're right next to the Swisher Sweets.
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Great, thanks.
Hey, I've got a suggestion for a brand name for their in-between treat.
All right. See you later. Hello, Donna Mike Show. Hello? Oh. Anybody following along? I hung up on one guy to another guy, and the other guy wasn't there.
I heard his beginning, and it was something like...
Hello.
Hello. Oh, we got to do a break anyway. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi, how you doing? Hi. I wanted to let you know what my mom used to call the in-betweens.
Oh, you mean your penis?
Well, I guess so. It applied to both my sisters and my brother and I.
Okay.
She used to ask us if we washed our face, our hands, our feet, and our monkey.
Your monkey?
My monkey. Hmm.
Well, same for you and your sister?
Yeah, we all took baths together, so I guess...
That would not be the first time we've heard a monkey used to describe
a guy. Yeah, but never for a girl.
And can I tell you what my son said once about a sister?
What?
Explain the difference that, you know, the sister didn't have a penis. So he said, I know, she has an anchor.
An anchor?
An anchor, yeah. I was a boat builder. We had a boat yard. He was familiar with the yachtsman anchor.
I understand that. I understand exactly what you're talking about.
Me too.
Yeah. So it's kind of a camel toe thing.
And yeah, absolutely.
He's a very observant kid. How old was your kid when he observed that?
Five. He was 5 years old.
Wow. Five.
That's a sign of brilliance.
How embarrassing. He's 21 now.
He's saying maybe he'd be like the next Bob Guccione or something. All right. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks, guys.
But we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
In 1898, Spain owned Cuba outright. Think about it. Cuba owned by a disorganized parliament over 4,000 miles away. Cubans were in a constant state of revolt. In 1904, the United States decided to throw a little weight around and,
Who is it?
Mr. Pizza Guy.
Again?
Mr. Pizza Guy, sir.
Pour the double cheese and sausage.
Right here, dude. Am I hallucinating here? Just what in the hell do you think you're doing?
Learning about Cuba. Having some food.
Mrs. Spicoli, you're on dangerous ground here. You're causing a major disturbance on my time.
You know, I've been thinking about this, Mr. Han. If I'm here and you're here, doesn't that make it our time? Certainly, there's nothing wrong with a little feast on our time.
You're absolutely right, Mr. Spicoli. It is our time. Yours, mine, and everyone else's in this room. But it is my class. Hamilton, Brandt, Kornfeld, up front. Mr. Spicoli has been kind enough to bring us a snack. And be my guest. Help yourselves. Get a good one.
The Don and Mike Show. If you haven't heard it, it's new to you. If you have, shut up and listen anyway. The best of Don and Mike.
Hey, listen, before I play you this tape of the Grassroots,
yes.
If anybody out there has Comic Relief on tape, I know they're going to rerun it. But a lot of times when they rerun it,
yeah.
They cut out stuff.
They edit the uncomfortable scenes like Milton Berle.
And what we're looking for is, and I thought of another one, Rosie Perez.
Was she terrible?
Awful. Now, my wife maintains it.
Come on. Why do you think you chose awful?
My wife thought she was trying to do like a dumb blonde routine.
Come on, that's the way she's all the time. Come on, Bob. Why? Why do you think you're so awful? Thank you for supporting Comic Relief.
We are looking for the face of Robert De Niro.
Oh, come on. Robert De Niro. He can't read.
Also, Milton Berle, Rosie Perez, and then Rosie O'Donnell.
Right.
So if you've got those, that would be beautiful.
And Rosie O'Donnell, just one more comment about her. She made her little... She comes out now. First, it was the leisure suits. And I guess we saw her in her outfit that she wears whenever she's on the street.
A total tarp raincoat.
She is getting bigger. She looks very oily, didn't she? Looked like that perhaps she was having a sweat attack backstage.
Can you imagine being her gal pal?
Oh.
I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
And I mean, think about it. Think about what you'd have to do, right,
yeah.
To keep her happy.
Oh, my God.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh,
you know.
That's worse than Milton Berle's handshaking.
How much money in the world is worth that?
Mm, yeah, I don't know.
Whatever Rosie O'Donnell pays her lover, you know, I mean, the lifestyle.
Yes.
And that's how she pays her, right?
Yes.
Right? Think about that.
She gets home from Comic Relief. Oh, my God.
God, I'm so horny. And listen, I don't really... I'll take a bath afterwards. Okay?
Run for your life.
I've got my knees. Help me off with my raincoat.
Oh, man. I shouldn't have worn that. I should have worn the Gore-Tex raincoat because it breathes better. This one was just rubber. And I just sweat. Oh, my God.
You know what? She was doing that same lame bit about little kids.
Yeah,
that, like she did on Star Search.
Yeah, and she really... above all else, she seemed like she was going through the motions. And then when she got done, I was like, yeah, thank you very much. Yes, and walks off the stage.
It's like Rosie O'Donnell's a master comedian. That's almost as annoying as when you're watching her TV show and she has someone who's really a movie star on, and she insists on peppering the conversation with, when I was in my movies,
right?
When I was in the movie, you know, whatever, and she's only been in lame movies, right?
When I was in my movie, my mother died. When I was in my mother died, you know, and she has the mother died. That's mentioned usually every single time she's on a stage.
That's why I'm so horny. Now, take care of me.
I was wearing wool pants and a raincoat.
Yeah. She was in A League of Their Own.
Right.
Where she was a bit player.
Nisha Beeden.
Which sucks.
Worst movie, one of the worst movies ever made.
Flintstones.
Right. Mm.
I liked the Flintstones. She was good as Betty Rubble, though she was too fat to be Betty Rubble. She had the voice down perfectly.
Maybe like one little kid movie.
Yeah,
or
and
two.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
That's it. That's the film career of Rosie O'Donnell.
That's my film career. And I am so incredibly powerfully horny. Oh, fantastic.
Think about that.
You're a trooper. You're a real trooper for helping me in that regard.
It's like getting a death sentence. You know, when you know that Rosie's been out for dinner with some of her Hollywood friends and that she's had a little wine.
It was so hot in that restaurant, but the calamari was great with the tomato sauce.
Now, do your magic. I'm just going to lay back. Do your magic.
Oh, it's been 8 hours.
Oh, yes. Oh, excuse me.
I'm starting to play that little mental videotape. I do not like it. Oh, that's not nice. That is not nice.
Imagine that. I mean, you know, at least Anne Heche has it better, right?
Just, yeah, much better, but you know, relatively speaking.
Yeah. Are you kidding?
Yes.
If I was a lesbian and I had to service, I would service Ellen over Rosie O'Donnell. Any day of the week.
Would Anne Heche be the hottest of the famous lesbians? I think she would.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Sure.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes. I'd like to talk to you about using my voice without my permission.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike Show. That was a Hank Hill caller. Hello. Hello. Yeah, you're on the air.
Yes, I have the comedy release on Fate from last night.
Comedy release?
Yes, Comic Relief.
Comic Relief.
Comic Relief. Okay, beautiful. Thank you.
Yes, the Comedy Release is on the Food Channel.
It relaxes and censors before the show. If I had had more time, I would have had to do that last night before my big show.
Yes, yeah. If you just sit there and go, I find that a little sexual stimulation before I perform with the grassroots relaxes
and centers me. Hello, Donna Mike. Hello.
Speak to us.
All right, that sucks. We went to the movies this weekend. I went to see the Michael Douglas movie with my wife, A Perfect Murder.
And?
Okay, Gwyneth Paltrow. Is that her name?
Paltrow.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Mm-hmm.
I know I've said this before. When did she become a star? What has she been in?
Been in a couple of movies in supporting roles, I believe.
Anne Heche is better looking than she is. The movie is predictable, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I loved it. Michael Douglas is great at playing a rich guy.
Oh, absolutely. He's the best rich guy.
And that's pretty much, my wife said to me, what about the holes in the plot? What about, didn't you know immediately what was happening? I said, no. Did you see his office?
Yeah.
His office is so cool.
And he plays the slick millionaire type very well.
Yeah, where he's got it all down pat. After we went to the movies, I guess this was Saturday, I dropped my wife off at home and I went to get my car washed.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to apologize to everybody at the car wash because I pulled a huge boner. What happened was, I pull up.
This was a big boner?
One of the biggest, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
I pull up, and I'm sitting there, and there's like a line of 15 cars.
Right.
So I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. Finally, as I get up close, the guy who's just gotten out of his car in front of me, a black guy, he gets out, and he looks at my car,
uh-huh.
And he's shaking his head back and forth like, mm-mm. Now, I don't know what he's shaking his head at, right?
Is it the kind of head shake that indicates, boy, that's a great car?
No. No, not at all.
It's something you've done something. Something is amiss.
Right. He's giving me a look, right?
Yeah.
So I'm just sitting there. Then he comes over by the side and sticks his head in because I got the windows down.
Right.
And he goes, what you doing? Just like that. And I said, pardon me, sir?
What's that? I'm sorry. I've got mayonnaise that I must get home.
And he said, look at this car. And I said, yeah, it's my car. And he says, it's a beautiful car. Why are you taking it here? And I said, what do you mean? And he said, you shouldn't be taking this to a car wash.
Oh, come on.
You should be washing this, you know, by hand. It's a beautiful car. You'll get it all scratched, right? So once I reasoned, you know, that he wasn't, like, trying to carjack me.
In line.
I started rapping with him, right?
Uh-huh.
And I said, oh, listen, man. I said, you know, I got to be somewhere this afternoon. I can't show up in a dirty car. I take my car through this wash all the time. It's cool. Yeah. So I start talking with the guy, right? Uh-huh. Now, I'm talking with the guy, and he brings his wife out. She's white.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, love the hot interracial romance.
I know you do. Yeah.
So I'm rapping with him about it.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm getting out of my car, and they're starting to come over to vacuum it out, I walk into the car wash with him, and there he's standing there with his wife and his kid, and I say, I'll see you later.
Mm-hmm.
And I walk towards the front of the store, go to the payphone, pick up the phone, call my wife, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Look around, look at the air fresheners, and I go, oh, I just drank all that water. Oh, I got to pee like a racehorse. Mm-hmm. So I go back to the bathroom,
mm-hmm.
take a nice, long urination. Real long, like over a minute long, just yeah. constant urination.
Had been a while.
So I get done, wash my hands, mm-hmm. I walk out, and I look outside, and I'm expecting now by this time that my car should be already through the car wash.
And they're drying it off with their towels.
Right. Well, there's no cars at all in the car wash.
Mm-hmm.
And I look, and I go walk down by the end,
oh.
and I go down, and my car is still sitting out front.
Oh, no.
And behind my car are maybe 25 cars.
Oh,
and at this point, the car wash guy comes up and goes, your keys! Where are your keys? And I say to the guy, I say, I left them in the car as I realize I'm talking to the guy and his wife. I get out of the car, I take the keys, and I put them in my back pocket.
You were afraid.
Yeah, right. So, right. So while I'm outside...
One of the most tragically white men in America was afraid.
I am using the telephone, I'm looking in the gift shop, I'm in the bathroom the whole time. The guy tells me that they're like making announcements on the PA,
oh, no.
saying if you drive this car,
you're in there oblivious.
Right. Oh, so then I had to go outside with the guy. Oh. And I gave him the key.
Was there any heckling?
A couple of guys.
Right.
One guy especially who was wearing a World Cup hat and shirt.
Oh, probably had to get down for like the match or something.
He came walking by and he said, huh. Nice going, right? And what could I say?
Yeah, I know.
Because I was flat out busted. I was standing.
Yeah.
I was actually arguing with the car wash guy in front of all these people in line.
Right.
And I'm saying, I come here all the time. Keys were in there. Look again. And then I go like this in my back pocket. I read, Put him in.
I'm sure you probably, well, at least you missed the horns honking problem that happened in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah. And the way that my car was pointed, it's not like they could move cars around the side.
Yeah, you probably had it in park, too.
I was totally... Yeah, I was, right.
You had it in park, so you take the keys off, it doesn't move.
It wouldn't move without the keys.
Oh,
right. So, my bad.
He's going to have to live with this boner for a long time.
Right. It was a huge boner.
And that's when you wish you could just back the car up and not even go through the car wash, but then you have to suffer the dirty looks for the entire time you're in there.
Yeah. Hello, Dynamite Show. Hello.
Yes.
Hey, hi.
Hi.
You're on the air.
Okay.
Hello.
Don?
Please turn down your radio.
Okay. It's down.
Okay.
Okay. I just wanted to... You guys were talking about Rosie O'Donnell.
Yes.
And I saw a movie, Beautiful Girls. Have you all seen that? With Uma Thurman and Matt Dillon, Lauren Holly.
She must have been the unbeautiful girl in that movie.
Right.
It was with Uma Thurman and who else?
Lauren Holly, Jim Carrey's wife.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Rosie O'Donnell's in that movie. I don't know. She's pretty funny.
Oh, all right. Thanks for the bulletin.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right.
Some people, even when knowledge is limited, get excited to share it with others.
It's like playing Jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
You know the answer. You call in immediately.
I know. I can't believe this. Like, I know Rosie is in another movie. They didn't mention it. Let me call them quickly.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Yes, I am. Hello.
The thing to have done at the car wash maybe was to have paid for everybody that was waiting in line behind you.
Oh,
yeah, right.
Please.
Yeah, right, if I'm Donald Trump, maybe.
Please.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Listen, citizens, you know, you put your arms up in the air. I can make this right. Here's $2,000. I'd like you all to get the deluxe wash.
And then this was the ultimate, because I'm normally very aware of tipping. Because, you know, they have that big wooden box with a big padlock that says all employees sharing tips equally.
Yeah. It's an unfortunate tipping system, I think, for the employees. Because, to me, it's a very easy tip system to slide by if you're a John K. consumer.
Well, not when you have stopped when you've gummed up the works.
Right.
And when there's like 10 guys standing there watching your car come through, and it's at that point I realize I paid for this with a credit card.
Right.
I don't even have like a dollar on me.
Oh.
So all these other guys who are waiting, they're going over, they're feeding like $1 and $2 bills into this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just standing there. Finally, when my car pulled out, I had to go into the middle part.
Right.
And I got out, I had like three quarters.
Yeah.
So I made a big deal. Yeah, bringing them up to the box. And that's exactly the sound they made too.
Those car wash guys get ripped off with the tip box because the tip box can be easily avoided and there is no pressure. There's no peer group pressure, you know, with other people. If they put that
thing smack out in the middle, or like they carried it around and moved it from car to car when they were done drying it, and you had to walk by it on the way to your car, then it might work a little better. But what I find is when I am going to tip those guys, and it's not every time, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I don't tip. I don't.
Really?
And I'm
surprised.
And I'm walking. But when I've got like a tip, I'll kind of want them to look over at me when they're drying the car, and I'm like...
Right, to get the acknowledgement, like, hi, it's me, the guy in the blue car.
Hello, I'm tipping here. Look, look, $5 tip right here. Let me just slowly put it down in the little thing.
Did you
see that? And they never seem to really notice or care, for that matter.
And you find two variety of people at car wash, okay? Mm-hmm. You either got real young kids,
right,
who, like, are not bright enough to get hired at McDonald's.
Oh, yes. Right.
Or all of the guys who just jumped over the fence from Mexico into this country. Because I think that's why they can get ripped off, like, on their salaries and ripped off on the tips and everything else.
Right.
Because they've got no leverage, man. Yeah.
And the customers vary, too, with the people that you get, the kind of people that, the persnickety people that will literally do the bumper-to-bumper inspection of the entire car.
I can't do that, man. I already feel bad enough that there's a guy out there having to wipe dead bugs off my car.
It's 110 degrees. They're out there, you know, with a towel the size of a face cloth, washing, drying your car. And you get someone going,
you can buzz their balls about
this spot right here.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don.
Baldy.
Hey, how you doing, Baldy?
Hey, Baldy.
Talking about tipping and everything, like, in the last year or so, I've seen, like, Dunkin' Donuts, you get, like, a tip jar there. I'm here for a cup of coffee, and it does.
Really?
And am I supposed to tip these people?
They have a tip jar at Dunkin' Donuts?
Dunkin' Donuts, every coffee shop that you go into, there's a tip jar.
I don't know about that, because Dunkin' Donuts is very close to being, like, a coffee shop.
That's what I'm saying. Just go there, give me my donut, my coffee, and let me run along. I've got to feel pressure to put a dollar in or 50 cents or whatever just for a cup of coffee.
Well, if you're figuring that out, you know, because usually if you had to figure out what 20% was, that would be probably difficult on a donut and a cup of coffee. You'd have to really, like, count the change out.
Well, then they put the sign up there that tipping is not a city in China. What's that all about?
Is that what the sign says?
Tipping is not a city in China.
Bye-bye.
That's mad.
Hello, Dynamite Show.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
Hey, Rosie O'Donnell's greatest role ever in a movie, Exit to Eden.
Yeah, Mike mentioned that. That is a piece of garbage movie.
That she, you know, you have to give her credit, though, for firming up so much for that movie. For toning
relatively speaking, compared to how she looks now.
That's right.
Right?
For storing the cottage cheese in other areas for a while.
Rosie needs that ass roller thing that I saw in 2020.
Yeah, but she needs one the size of, like, a steam shovel.
Or you're like, yeah, that's exactly what she needs.
Hello? Dynamite?
Yes, hello.
Buddies.
Who is this? Is this Dennis Murphy?
No, this is a secret name.
This is Secret?
Yeah, you got to know what my name is. My name is Secret.
Oh, it's a mystery guest, Mike. Okay, I'll guess. Is this... Is this Tim Russert from Meet the Press?
No.
Is this Senate Majority Leader? What's his name?
You don't know his name.
What's his name?
You mean
Trent Lott?
Right.
No, it's not.
All right. Is this Phil Jackson?
No, it's not.
Okay, Robbie, you get to guess.
Is it Stephen Hawking?
No.
I don't think he's got an S on the end of his name, Rob. I think it's... Is this Phil Hartman?
No, it's not.
Is this Bret Hartman?
No.
I think I can unravel this mystery.
So, go ahead, Mike.
Secret name... No, it's Buzz, but secret name... How do you spell secret?
How you spell secret?
Yes.
S-C-O-R-E-N-T.
I don't know. I don't know who it is.
All right, well, you got us. Who is this?
Tom Gavin.
Oh! Good one.
Wow!
Good one, Tom.
You got us.
Yes, you fooled us, Tom.
Way to go, Tom.
What's going on, guys?
Man, you are funny.
See?
Guess
who gave me that secret name?
Who?
Carl Grossman did.
Well, there's another guy that deserves our booing cartridge. Yeah, that's a good bit, Tom. You keep working with him.
That's fantastic. Call again with that bit.
What's going on, guys?
Tom, listen, I'm going to teach you something about showbiz. When you have a great bit that kills like that,
yeah,
get out right away.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, you got to say, okay, so long.
Hey, Tommy.
See, the best thing to do, Tom, is just to say so long, guys, and then laugh out loud. Like, give us a really good belly laugh, and then
hang up.
Okay?
Come on, guys. Ha ha.
That's it.
There he goes.
He's learning.
Wow, what an actor.
Great bit, Tom. Hello, Dynamite Show.
Hold on.
That will henceforth be referred to as Secret Guy.
Hello.
Hello, Don.
Yeah.
Yeah, could you picture Rosie O'Donnell in Cagney and Lacey role?
Oh, absolutely. She looks a lot like she's going to grow up to look like Tyne Daly.
Yeah, she is. But
right.
A little goofy.
Let me tell you something right now. Rosie O'Donnell wishes she was Tyne Daly.
Yeah. Hello, Donald Mike Show. Tyne Daly is so fugly. Oh, we have to do a break. Hello?
Hello, Doc.
Hello? Boy, your phone's breaking up.
Hey, look, I'm just a secret.
Is that Secret Guy?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Got it.
Great phones. Nice going, Alexander Graham Bell. Nice going. F you. Phones never work right.
I can't believe it. He's finally said F you to an investor.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I didn't get your name. I got yours, Vincent. Right? But I never got your
name. My name's Pitt. And your ass ain't talking your way out of this.
No. I just want you to know how sorry we are that things got so f***ed up with us and Mr. Wallace. When we got into this thing with the best intentions, really. I never...
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration? I didn't mean to do that. Please, continue. You were saying something about best intentions. What's the matter? Oh, you were finished. Well, allow me to retort. What does Marcellus Wallace look like?
What?
What country are you from?
What
ain't no country I ever heard of. They speak English and what?
What?
English, mother f***, do you speak it?
Yes.
Then you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
Describe what Marcellus Wallace looks like.
What?
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you. I double dare you, mother f***. Say what one more goddamn
He's black.
Come on.
He's bald.
Does he look like a bitch?
What?
Does he look like a bitch?
No.
Then why you try to f*** like a bitch, Brett?
Yes, you did.
Yes, you did, Brett. You tried to f***. Well, my son Wallace don't like to be f***ed by anybody except Mrs. Wallace. You read the Bible, Brett.
Yes.
Well, there's this passage I got memorized. Sort of fits this occasion. Ezekiel 25:17. The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who in the name of charity and goodwill shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and the finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
The Don and Mike Show. Enjoy it a second time. The best of Don and Mike.
Wow.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, Don and Mike at Scooter Mobile.
Scooter!
Scooter from Mobile.
How are you, Scooter?
Where is the Undertaker when you need him?
I want to play your name game, man.
Scooter wants to play the name game.
Scooter will kill you with the name game. Is the Undertaker here yet?
I don't know.
I wasn't asking you, Scooter. I was asking one of the boys that works on the show here.
How's my buddy Rob A. Speedwag doing?
Is the Undertaker in the building?
How's my buddy Rob doing?
Anyone?
Rob, how are you doing?
I'm good, but I miss Scooter.
I'm
Scooter.
Missing you, man.
All right, we'll play a name game with you, Scooter.
So?
Buzz, give us a name.
Barry.
Barry White.
Barry Levinson. Scooter?
Yes.
It goes Don, Mike, you, okay?
Okay.
Barry Levinson. Now it's your turn, Scooter.
Barry Krause.
Who is Barry Krause?
A linebacker at the University of Alabama, Crimson Tide.
Oh, I forgot.
You're like Rain Man when it comes to stuff like that, right?
Yep.
All right. Barry Switzer.
Barry.
Hold on.
Did we have Barry Manilow yet?
No. Nope.
Nope. All right. Barry Manilow. Scooter, your turn.
Barry Bonds.
Barry Williams.
Barry.
Scooter.
Oh, Scooter. Hold on, Scooter.
Barry White. I had that. That was my first Barry.
Barry Sheck.
Barry Livingston.
Who's Barry Livingston?
He was Ernie.
No, Stanley Livingston.
That's right.
You're out.
You're out.
At least I tried, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jack Barry.
Paul Barry.
Ken Barry.
How about Rick Barry?
Halle Berry.
Rick Barry.
Rick Barry. Don't help Scooter.
I'll take Scooter's charity.
Barry Diller.
Good one. Yeah. Barry. Hello, my name is Barry.
How about Barry Manilow?
We already had that one, Scooter.
Pipe down, Scooter.
You're out of the game, Scooter. You got to be quiet.
At least I tried.
Okay, be quiet, Scooter. Right. Barry. Mayor Barry?
Already. Marion Barry.
Marion Barry.
Yeah. Right. Okay, that's a good one.
Mayor for life. Oh, bring the Undertaker in. We can keep playing the game. Bye, Scooter.
Bye.
See you later. Bye, Baldy.
Barry. Barry.
Yeah.
I can't do it with the pressure of the Undertaker. You're king of the berries.
King of the berries.
You're king of the berries.
King of the berries.
You win the berry game.
And once again, I was dry. I didn't have another berry for you.
My God, this is a large gentleman coming in here.
Jesus Christ.
It's the Undertaker.
You are huge, man. Hey, Undertaker.
How are you, Undertaker?
I'm living, I guess.
How you doing? Did you make it here okay? Everything go all right? Your limo and all that good stuff?
Yeah, it went bad.
Okay.
The traffic.
Good.
Not too bad.
How many tattoos you have, Undertaker?
Two.
You have two big ones?
Yeah, they never stop.
Yeah. Oh, really? Just
one arm. Both arms and... about it.
That is. Is it? Can you pull your sleeve up a little bit so I can see that other one?
You're kidding
that? I just want to look at it, man. Look at that.
Look at all that stuff you got on your arm.
Skulls and castles and that's scary looking.
Scary. Man.
What do you have on your finger? What's that tattoo right there? Right? Is that a?
Oh yeah, that's kind of personal.
Is it personal? Really?
So hey, man.
Hey, man.
What's happening, Undertaker?
You are.
You rule.
That's what I'm here for.
You rule.
You know
I rule.
Yeah, you're like the best wrestler, right?
Did you say wrestler?
Yeah.
Wrestler.
Wrestler. You're the best wrestler.
We were talking about how excited everybody is because you're coming here. Everybody wants to have their picture taken and all that stuff.
Yeah, what's that all about?
Well, those are your fans.
Morbid folks around here, right?
Those are your fans, man.
Oh, that's right. Those are my fans.
God damn, you're huge.
You got like this necklace you're wearing with skulls on that, too. You like skulls, Undertaker?
Well, I mean, what I do is every DJ that I tombstone across the country, I get another skull for. So,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Tombstone. Now, explain tombstone.
Kill, Mike.
That's the finishing maneuver.
Yeah, I thought it was a maneuver. That's why.
Where
I
basically turn my opponent upside down, drop them on their bean, and see if they can get up.
Do that. Where'd Rob A go?
Yeah.
I got a guy. I want
this
you to do that.
This guy scares me too. This guy in the background, he's scaring me too. Yeah, he smiled.
That's security Jim back there.
That's security Jim. He looks like he could tombstone people too.
He does.
He does.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. Now the other two guys, they don't look really scary. They look like media types.
They're probably very afraid of you.
Yeah, but they're holding so.
Oh, they are. All right.
I bet that's real tense in the limo, right, with you, with guys like this, guys in suits, when you're driving
they
over.
Really don't. Yeah, they
go, well, whatever you say, Mr. Undertaker. You know, you say, drive faster, they go 100.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Usually. Yeah. Usually. They're not too bad about it.
Are you a mean man or are you a nice man?
What would you be your guess, just looking at me initially?
I see beneath.
You can see through the facade, right?
Yes, I see. I see a sweet, loving guy under there.
That must have been lunch.
No, you're not. You really mean?
Am I really mean? Well, it's all a matter of opinion.
Are you a bad man? Would you consider yourself to be a bad man, Undertaker?
When I'm in the ring, I consider myself pretty bad.
When you're out of the ring, say the wrong person comes up to you in the wrong circumstance. You know, some guy's had a few too many in the airport bar, walks up to you, go, "Oh, Mr. Undertaker, Mr. Big Guy, Undertaker." Would you get?
He probably wouldn't get all that out.
See, that's what I thought.
He'd be asleep before that.
I want to bring something up. There was a show that was, but don't hit me, okay?
I can't reach you right now.
Okay,
I'll wait till we.
Mm-hmm. There was a show that was on the other night.
Mm-hmm.
What channel was that? Like Discovery Channel?
A&E, I'm sure that you're talking about.
Yeah, all about wrestling. Did you watch that show?
No, actually, we were doing our pay-per-view down in Greensboro, North Carolina, Sunday.
That's a plug for you. Free plug pay-per-view.
All right. Well, we've already done it, so.
Well, it's a commercial.
Okay.
I'm giving you another commercial there.
Yeah, that's very good.
Mr. Undertaker.
Now I know, so I'll be waiting to hear some more of those.
There you go, sir.
All right.
He'll ring that. You know something? He'll ring that for you as many times as you want.
You think so?
Absolutely.
So if I said, like, this Saturday at 8 o'clock, U.S. Airways Arena.
Yeah. Look at that. I'm like your slave. Because I know there's a good, loving person behind the black clothing and the chains and the scary prison-like tattoos and those big arms. God damn it, you're huge.
It's kind of a job requirement these days.
Yeah. Yet most of the guys are massive. I mean, do they have any averages yet, like in the wrestling game? Do they have, like, what the average height is, average weight of you guys?
No, it's really hard to put an average on it. I mean, right. There's guys 7'4", 500 pounds, and then there's we've opened up a light heavyweight division where you've got guys, 5'4", 195 pounds.
Do you mind giving us your vitals, your vital stats?
My vitals, last I checked, I was 6'10.5" and about 328 pounds.
Oh, God.
Man.
And you look mean.
Yes, you do.
But underneath the mean,
absolutely,
I see the teddy bear.
Just a wonderful, warm, caring,
soft-sensitive side.
I see the guy who probably... You probably watch, like, Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman and cry, right? I know I do. I'm man enough to admit it.
That's a good question. That's a good question. What makes you cry? What makes you cry?
What makes me cry?
Or do you cry? You can say, I never cry, or if there's something...
Onions.
Onions make him cry.
Yeah. That's fair. Good.
That's about it.
So that show that was on TV the other night...
Yeah, I didn't see it, so give inform. What are you getting at here?
Well, just that you're a super guy.
Right. That's a good start.
We don't have to talk about that show.
No, he doesn't want you to talk about that show.
No, okay. They alleged on that show that I guess they went behind the scenes to say that that wrestling is fake and it's a show. I think they said you guys are in good shape and you have to be good athletes. And, yes, you do get thrown down on the mat, but that everything's orchestrated. I mean... Okay. Mr. Undertaker, I'm not trying to bust your chops, Mr. Undertaker.
Probably you are, but in a nice manner. Mm-hmm. But let's take it back just a little bit to what you said. How can you get picked up and thrown down, and that be fake?
Well, that's what they said, Mr. Undertaker.
Well, okay.
Not
that's
me.
What they said, but they are very narrow-minded, and I deal with they all the time. And people need to quit thinking so much and just open their eyes and see what's out there. We are classified, and we're the first ones to admit, we are sports entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
We take the best of athletics. We mix a little showbiz in there. We give it some characters.
What were you burping back there?
Excuse me?
Were you choking back something?
Yeah. It was lunch.
Lunch. Okay.
He mentioned lunch before when you said he looked like the sensitive sort. He said that was lunch.
How many moves do you think it would take you to kill a guy like me?
Not many.
Not many? Could you kill me in one move?
Sure.
Really? How would you kill me? If you're gonna, like, if I said something and really enraged you, and you came over the console?
Enraged me enough to kill you?
Yeah.
I'd snap your neck. That'd probably be the quickest way.
Yeah.
Really? How about him? Could you kill him in one move or two moves?
Hi, how are you?
Well, he looks like a pretty good-sized guy. It might take a move and a half, maybe two.
All right.
I take that as a real... nicer, though, so I'd probably take a couple moves.
I take that as a real high compliment. Thank you. Mr. Undertaker?
How about the bird-like man behind the window there, the pretty buzz?
Forget about it.
Forget about it.
And where's Rob? I always like to have Rob stand next to the very tough individuals that come in. Is Rob kicking or has Rob run away already?
Rob is hiding from Mr. Undertaker.
He really is. He's not. He's normally in the studio. And, Rob, where are you? I want to see you stand next to the other. What about?
Hey, Rob.
You see that guy?
This guy right here.
Mm.
That guy's the guy that says all kinds of stuff about you, Mr. Undertaker.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Good thing he's leaving.
Right? Yeah, he's running away right now.
So where do you live?
Where do I live? Yeah. I have a suitcase most of the time. Uh-huh. But when I do get a few days off and I'm not in Death Valley, I like to go down to Florida and hang out there a little bit.
You're a family man? You got any kids?
Is there a Mrs. Undertaker?
Oh, well, we can't get into all that now.
No baby Undertakers?
Not that I know of.
Okay. When you're
you guys trying to get at it. Come on.
Just, no, we just want to know more about you, Mr. Undertaker, the man. We like to know that about all our... likes, your dislikes, turn-ons, turn-offs, you know, what you enjoy doing when you're not in the ring, what you know, whether you're a family man, that you know, the man behind the Undertaker.
Right. Sounds kind of like a Playboy interview here. So.
Sure. That's exactly where we get all our questions from, right?
You have crystallized it. That is exactly what this is.
Sunsets, long walks on the beaches.
What do you do? Seriously, what do you do for fun?
What do you do for fun?
When you're not wrestling,
besides
what do you
kicking
do?
Ass.
Well, that's first and foremost.
Sure.
But,
right.
When I'm not healing up from my last fake wrestling match. I'm usually I'm into bikes. I like motorcycles.
My wife wouldn't let me get one.
Really?
I wanted a Harley more than anything. I even made a down payment on the Harley. And she said, I've done a lot of crazy things. That's the thing. She said, you do that, we're over.
So that's how things are at your house, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pussy whipped. I don't mind telling you.
Wow.
She's a good woman, my wife.
Turned
she
out.
Could kick your ass, I bet. She's a tough lady.
Yeah.
She'd probably have to be to put up with you.
She's tough. So when you're down in Florida, when you're in your off hours,
mm-hmm.
you're just chilling, riding your bike.
Right.
Do you get a lot, hey, Mr. Undertaker, Mr.
Everywhere.
Undertaker,
yeah,
everywhere?
I'm real selective where I go and you know, what I do.
You've been doing it a while, right? You've been in the wrestling
12, game. Going on 13 years.
So
now.
You have seen the, you know, where it was, I mean, it's always been very successful, but in the last few years, hasn't it really gone absolutely nuts?
It's gone really nuts the last couple of years. Right now, the wrestling industry is probably the strongest that it's ever been. Mm-hmm. We've been...
Plug.
Is that a plug?
Plug.
That's
positive.
That's it.
Positive plug.
Positive thing.
I think I'm getting the hang of this now.
There you go. You say it, I'll plug it.
All right.
And now you're in the WWF.
Correct.
And that's the original one, right? The best one?
Of course.
Okay. Yeah. What are the other ones? What are the ones? Do you compete against the other leagues? Or?
Not actually in the ring. Everything is competing as in ratings.
Mm-hmm. You guys are number one?
It goes back and forth. We just posted. Get ready to ring your bell. We just posted the highest wrestling TV show rating of all time this past Monday.
How about some polite golf applause? Listen to this.
Yeah. We do the bell and we do polite golf applause as well.
That.
He almost smiled at that.
He almost
looking
for Ken Venturi.
He almost smiled.
All right. Do you play golf?
I've been known to do a little night putting.
You should go out to a fancy place like this club. Look at this queer golf outfit that Mike's wearing today.
It's not a queer golf outfit.
Well, you're wearing
the
Larry King sweater with no sleeves.
I'm dressed like a golfer. It was a little chilly today.
What's that? Yeah, I could get you in. I'd love to see Mike take you into his snooty golf club and see how they would react.
Yeah, they lift a brow, I would think.
Yeah.
Oh, we've had guys that look like The Undertaker play golf out there.
What's Absolutely. Your favorite? What's your favorite romantic movie of all time, Undertaker?
Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Hey, man, he's got the answers ready.
What's your favorite TV show?
Pulp Fiction.
Oh, come on, really? Do you watch TV?
Do you get a chance to watch TV?
Really, I don't actually get a chance to watch too much TV. One thing that I may catch here and there is the hospital show. What is it?
ER.
ER, yeah.
You like ER?
The hospital show. See, fits, though, with the persona that you would like.
You know,
you like
gory.
Seeing people come in on the, you know, you like the reality programming, like the scariest police chases, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I get off on a little bit of that.
We're getting burned on that. We see it all the time.
Yeah. Hey,
this guy that you're going to be fighting this weekend, Kane?
My brother, yeah.
You're fighting your brother?
I tried not to, but he pushed the issue, and, you know, now it's come to... I set him on fire. I set him on fire Sunday.
Wow.
That didn't stop him, so.
Why'd you set him on fire, Undertaker?
Well, that was just the premise of the match. Uh-huh. It was, you ready? It was at the pay-per-view this past Sunday. And,
highly successful pay-per-view.
It was highly successful.
Kicked ass.
And it was, the premise was it was an inferno match. The ring was, surrounded with flames.
Mm-hmm.
The only way to win the match, you're laughing. It wasn't funny when I was in there.
I know. Okay, I know.
The only way to win the match is set your opponent ablaze.
I love the idea.
Sure. It's great.
I'm not laughing. I'm smiling. I love the idea.
It was really hot.
So you set your brother on fire.
Better him than me, right?
Is he your real brother? Or
he's
is he
your
just
real brother.
He's
yeah.
your real brother. Yeah. And so you're going to have a rematch with your real brother?
Yeah. This would...
What are you going to do this week? Cut off his nuts? What can you do after you set a guy
not much
on fire?
Left, is there?
That's pretty significant. I guess he wasn't real happy with that, was he?
Nah, he's kind of pissed. yeah, he must be. He's going to come back for some more. But
how does your mom feel about that?
Oh, you don't follow this, do you?
Follow what?
What did we miss? What did we miss? Did we miss something?
Yeah, my parents are dead.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Oh, no. Is this like the background of the Undertaker? Is this
That's a little bit of insight there, yeah.
Oh, okay.
My brother kind of holds me responsible for that.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, so, see, now we're getting...
Now we're understanding.
Now we're getting into it.
Yeah.
Oh, so he blames you. And how long has this feud been going on?
Well, actually, I didn't even know that he even still existed. I thought he
had perished
as well.
Oh.
And
how did they perish?
Hmm?
How did your
fire of all things?
By another fire. You didn't set your mom and dad on fire. Did
I didn't.
You?
No. Yeah, but somebody that, did. I had to. I took the rap for it.
So you. You thought that your brother had perished in the same fire that your parents perished
right.
in. And that is, and then he surfaced, and he's alive, and he blames you.
And he's pissed.
For setting the, and he's pissed.
And now he follows you from city to
I'm
city.
Like, you know, you guys are laughing. This is
I
a
know.
Family tragedy.
Oh, I know.
I am sorry.
It's an American
I am sorry.
Tragedy.
That is
I'm not plugging tragedy.
That is nothing to laugh at. And no. Please accept
it. Not until I leave.
Do not. Okay.
See, there you go again.
I'm sorry.
All right, so. Your brother set
you. We were getting along, guys.
We are getting along. We're getting along very well.
Your brother did or didn't set your mom and dad on fire?
I think he did.
You think he did?
So yeah. You think he did? He thinks you did, and that's why the
well,
conflict.
See, he's been brainwashed by his manager and.
Who's his manager?
Paul Bear.
Paul Bear?
Yeah.
Who's your manager?
It used to be Paul Bear until I fired his fat ass.
Oh, you don't like him? Yeah, you can say that.
Did he have something to do
I
with it?
I can say fat.
Yeah,
you can say ass too. So the manager. He had something to do with the fire?
I believe so.
You believe so?
I think he's trying to, you know, get a smoke screen here.
So okay. Do you have a manager now? Do you have a guy that you work
nothing,
with?
No one that I go out so in front of.
So you're basically, in a way, you're taking on two guys. When you come up against Kane, Paul Bear is there with him, and he hates you as much as your brother hates you.
That pretty much wraps it up.
Wow. I love this talk. I love wrestling talk.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
You know, there's a question I'm dying to ask about all this, but I just don't have... the guts to ask it. I'll ask it after you leave.
All right.
Well, I can't answer you then.
That's probably the way it'll work.
You know, I don't want to turn around and have to come back.
Yo, me either, sir. All right. I will. You know what? I'll retract the question.
You're going to retract. You're going to even retract it from your thought.
Undertaker,
right?
The question will never be asked.
All right. Here's the question.
Come on.
Oh no.
Okay.
Be careful.
Careful. Be careful.
Now,
careful.
Now. It's about your mom and dad.
Move those chairs out of the way, because I might have to get over there.
It's about your mom and dad. Okay.
You really are scared, aren't you?
Yeah, well, a little bit. Well, I want to know, though. This is a real question.
All right.
Because I think that's a nice story. That's a great story. For your wrestling. That's
well,
a great story.
A story. I didn't want this story brought up.
So your brother really set your mom and dad on fire.
I don't know what really happened. Mm-hmm. I believe he did.
But your mom and dad really got burned in a fire. They got killed in a fire?
They're gone.
You swear to God?
Do I swear to God?
Yeah.
No, I can't swear to God on all these people.
All right, then here's my follow-up question.
All right. You got these written down over there?
No, I'm just off the cuff, top of my head.
Right off the top of his head, Undertaker.
How does, because you wouldn't swear to God to that, how does, if your mom and dad were really alive, and that wasn't just a goof for the wrestling, you know, a big setup.
Right.
How, hypothetically, would your mom and dad deal with the fact that you're making your career saying that they got burned up and that your brother set them on fire?
Well, first of all, my career's pretty much made, but I don't think they would be too pleased. You want to ring it?
Yeah, because your career's made.
That's a positive. That's a positive thing like that.
No, I wouldn't think that they would be too pleased.
They might be pissed at you, right?
They might be. Yeah, they might be pissed. But,
okay. Well, that was my question. Mike, do you have any other questions for Mr. Undertaker? No, sir.
I don't. I don't think he liked that other question, so we're actually going to...
Put a whole haze over the whole interview.
You seem very... Sorry about that. You know what I like about you, Mr. Undertaker? Can I tell you something positive?
I'm positive.
And something that's gratifying. You seem very controlled. You seem in control of your emotions.
That's a facade.
You have to be.
And that, you know, at any moment, of course, that could all just explode, but...
Rock your world.
But for right now, you seem in control, and you manage your... 6'10" 320-pound frame very, very effectively.
Big pop there.
I had the statistics correct, didn't I?
You have them pretty much correct, and that's why I'm pretty much controlled.
All right, now, Saturday night here in D.C., U.S. Airways, Air Arena.
Right.
It's all kinds of you guys. It's you and your brother who set your parents on fire.
Mm-hmm. You got the
and
title, the world titles.
Don't trust anybody.
Don't trust anybody.
Right. Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's a $6 million man, right? Or is that a goof on the $6 million man?
No, I don't think it has anything to do. This guy's, he's pretty
coincident.
And the guy,
pretty tough.
The guy he's fighting.
Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Yeah, what did he do to Steve Austin's parents?
I really don't know that he had any opportunity to do anything to him.
But you and your brother are the main event, right? You're the main.
Actually, the title was probably the main event.
Okay.
Where the, what you'd call a special attraction.
Uh-huh.
Tag team titles are on the line with the Legion of Doom.
And please describe for us the Undertaker's ideal woman. The ideal woman for the Undertaker.
They're an ideal woman for the Undertaker.
Absolutely. The kind of lady.
Some bueno arbusto.
You know, the kind of lady.
You think they might show up at the arena Saturday?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's why I'm bringing it up.
Good bush.
You know what? Maybe we ought to ask Security Jim about that.
Security Jim?
Come on over
Security
here, Jim.
Come here, Security Jim. Huh. Security Jim, who is just as mean looking as you are, Undertaker. Mm-hmm. And hi, Security Jim. How are you?
Right there. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, Baldy. Hey, Baldy. What kind of women are attracted to the Undertaker? Or rather, what type of woman does the Undertaker find attractive?
Yes, for the type of women that would, you know, come out to the arena for the...
Why do I have to be Baldy?
What do you mean?
Pardon me?
You said, hey, Baldy?
No, Buddy.
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 Hey, Buddy.
You got a ponytail. You got a full head of hair. We'd never call you Baldy.
Oh, okay.
Buddy. Hey, Baldy. Hey, Baldy. Hmm. What kind of girls?
Well, being a World Wrestling Federation champion in the past, you attract all varieties.
All varieties?
Of young ladies.
Mm. Right. Is there any specific quality that the Undertaker would look for in a woman? Anything that you would know, Security Jim, as the Undertaker's type of ideal woman?
Undertaker looks like he's putting his hand down his pants right now. You know what I'm saying? He's standing up there. Is he...
You know, putting him on the... You know, remember we got that little riser put in here?
I know, he is dangerous.
Almost going through the roof here. So now, Security Jim, we've given you time to think about this. The ideal woman for the Undertaker, what does he look for in a woman?
Well, we have in the past come across a few trailer parks that are ideal.
Thank you, Security Jim.
That's wonderful. Good answer. All right.
Thank you.
But,
yes?
You know, mm-hmm. they are hard to get in the building.
Right. So you're talking about the larger women?
You have to get past
the larger.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Undertaker doesn't get along with pigs, does he?
No,
the big fat sloppy chucks, right?
No, I think it's just wrestlers in general.
Just wrestlers in general.
Wrestlers in general. Okay, wonderful.
So Mr. Undertaker would only have beautiful groupies.
So beautiful women. All beautiful women come to the arena.
Beautiful women.
All right.
And this weekend, you'll be at... What are you doing with your hand in your pants, sir? The hand keeps going, playing with the belt buckle, going inside the pants.
I'm trying to get that dollar you dropped in there.
It's the Undertaker. It's the WWF. Don't trust anybody.
That's right.
US Air Arena, Saturday night. Tickets available at US Air Arena, or call 432-SEAT, and that's an area code 212.
You know, and just for me to you...
202, I'm sorry, 202.
Mr. Undertaker, from...
Sorry about that, 202, Mr. Undertaker.
From me to you, Mr. Undertaker, after the match, after it's settled, I do hope that perhaps you can find some common ground with your brother, and you two can behave more like brothers, you know, and hopefully you can work things out.
That would be an ideal situation.
It's just good wishes from me to you.
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
And word to your mother?
Thank you.
Excuse me? You're going to have a seance or what?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Hey, nice meeting you, Mr. Undertaker.
Good luck in your match. Fantastic. Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it. Thank you.
He's a cool guy.
Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah, I like him on. Hey.
It was a lot of fun. I like having the wrestlers on.
Pretty good.
That is a lot of fun.
That was great.
Let me just watch him leave the room.
He's going to leave the room. We're going to watch.
Let me watch Mr. Undertaker leave the room.
There he goes. All right.
Oh, he's signing some autographs.
One of his assistants is getting the pen out.
Are all of these calls for The Undertaker? Because he's got to go.
Rob, were you afraid of The Undertaker?
Very afraid.
Hello.
Yes, I know you were.
Hey, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike?
Yeah.
Hey. I'm not calling for The Undertaker, but hi, Undertaker, anyway.
He's in the back of the room. He's making his way out. He's signing some autographs right now.
I love that guy. He's awesome.
He is, huh?
But
he
anyway, what I was calling about was the game you just played.
The what?
You were just playing the name game with that guy with the Barry.
Yeah, right before The Undertaker came in here, we were playing the name game.
And he gave an answer that was right, as far as I know, and you told him he was wrong.
Well, who cares?
Barry Livingston?
Right, well...
I thought it was Stanley Livingston.
Now that I think about it, there were two of them. They were real-life brothers.
Oh, my God.
Well,
one was Ernie and one was...
Listen, we screwed
Scooter.
Yeah. I will take care of it this weekend. I will go to Mobile, and I will set his parents on fire. Okay, goodbye.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Oh, man.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I think they really came into their own. Commercially and artistically.
The whole album has a clear, crisp sound and a new sheen of consummate professionalism that really gives the songs a big boost.
He's been compared to Elvis Costello, but I think Huey has a far more bitter, cynical sense of humor.
In 87, Huey released this. Four, the most accomplished album. I think their undisputed masterpiece is Hip to Beware. A song so catchy, most people probably don't listen to the lyrics. But they should, because it's not just about the pleasures of conformity and the importance of friends. It's also a personal story.
vintage goodness. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Okay, your calls. The grandparents edition against the Whoopi coming right up. But first, we got to send lots of love out to Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
Where tonight, Robbie Knievel is going to jump all over. How many cars? He's doing something like six or seven more cars than his dad did.
Yeah, his dad, which is that famous crash where you see all his bones breaking in slow motion.
Now, that's a whole show tonight on Fox, and I'm hoping that Robbie Knievel's jump is going to be the last thing, because we've got basketball practice tonight. That means I'm not going to make it home till like quarter till nine.
Now, it is live, right? It is live, so, you know, Daredevil's live. That's the only way to watch him.
Isn't that something?
Hi, this is Evel Knievel. I'm here in Washington, D.C. with my son, Robbie. Robbie, would you ever listen to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara?
No.
Neither would I.
Yeah, we had those two on the show a while ago.
Yes, we did. And
they're a piece of work, those two. Father and son. The apple does not fall far from the tree.
Absolutely. Evel, we believed, you know, a lot of pain when you break all those bones.
Sure.
So I believe he was heavily medicated when he dropped by to see us.
So what are the odds of Robbie Knievel wiping out tonight, which has to be
what everybody is
really hoping at Fox Television, right?
Sure. I think the rap on him is that he's a lot better than his dad. He's been a lot more successful, so he's got a shot at doing it, but it's also an awful long way to jump.
30 limos and a motorcycle.
And how far is that, Buzz?
I have no idea.
And his old man, that's the jump where he wiped out so bad, right?
Caesar's Palace. Yeah, right near the fountain where he came down, and you see him, you know, and all his arms kind of looks like Elastoman.
We should send some of our fans down there with big signs. You know, I wanted to mention that last night, my life is so pathetic, I was able to log on to Monday Nitro on TNT.
Yes.
And I saw that guy with the sign in the front row, "Hey, Don and Mike, kick ass."
So how did it? So he got some good TV time.
No, but like every Goomba in the stands has a sign, you know, that either say "I love Hulk Hogan" or
right.
"NWO, the New World Order."
So you did see our names in lights.
Yeah, I did. But as yet, we haven't gotten a call for that 3-picture deal.
Hey, but we're in that B movie with the lady with the see-through top, according to that other guy that called.
Mike, we are really happening. Let's go to Stan. Oh, let me check out the ages on the grandparents first. You got 65 and 69, 72.
You said 69.
80 and 82. Let's talk to this guy.
Boy, yeah.
Line 5, this is Richard. Hi, Richard.
Hey, how you doing, Radio Gods?
Doing great. Thank you for listening to our show on KFH Talk Radio in Wichita, Kansas.
Thank you.
And we're going to be calling your grandma and grandpa, Dean and Maxine.
Yeah.
Dean's 80, and Maxine is 82.
Actually, she's 80. He's 82.
Oh, we got it backwards?
Yeah, she's the...
What? She's what, Richard?
She's the younger one.
Okay, I got you. Richard, if you get it within 1 year, we will give you $50.
All right.
If you can predict within 1 year the last time that your wonderful grandma and grandpa did the nasty.
Well, They are a very odd couple, so I'm gonna have to go with about 45 years.
45 years. So what year would that be? That would be like, hold on, let me get my pencil out here.
So we have to do our math right now. 45 years ago.
Three, that'd be 1953 is your last guess.
All right, that's my guess.
All right, Richard. So if she says 1952, 1953 or 1954,
Richard will be a big winner.
We will give you $50.
All right.
All right. Hold the line, Richard.
Time to call Dean and Maxine. Dean is 82, Maxine is 80, and Richard's guess was the last time they fulfilled their marital obligations, 53.
45 years ago. Hey, Richard, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right. Good luck to the Knievel man tonight.
Oh, well.
Yes, is this Maxine?
Oh, this is Mr. Cranford.
This is Dean.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Dean, hi. This is Don and Mike, and we're doing a national radio show right now, and we have your grandson, Richard, on the line with us.
Richard, say hi to your grandfather.
Hello, Grandpa.
Did you hear Richard, Dean?
Pardon?
Richard?
Why don't you speak up, Richard, please, and say hi to your grandfather.
Hello, Grandpa.
Grandpa, Dean, do you have a grandson named Richard?
Yes, I do.
And he lives in Wichita, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he's on the line with us now, sir.
Uh-huh.
And we'd like to give you the chance to win some money for your grandson.
He's playing a game, and you have to help him here.
Have to do what?
Don't worry about have to. We're playing a little radio game right now.
We just need you to answer a question.
And if you match Richard's answer, he'll win some money.
Well, listen, Mike, we're doing too much talking here. Richard?
Yeah.
In your own homespun style, why don't you explain the game to Grandpa and then ask him the question?
Okay. The game they're playing is called Guess the Whoopee.
Called what?
Guess the Whoopee. And the question they're the question we're all asking is, when was the last time that you and Grandma, as I say, fulfilled your marital obligations?
You know. You know, Dean.
No, that America. Say that again.
Hey, Richard, you know your grandfather better than we do. You got to make that question a little clearer, okay?
You can put it in layman's terms.
When was the last time you shared a romantic evening?
When was the last time you laid the pipe?
Huh?
Oh, Ricky. We don't want in on anything like
that. Uh-oh.
Is that Grandma?
Yeah, they think we're telemarketers.
We all, huh?
Richard, these are your grandparents, right?
Yeah, they are my grandparents.
Well, why don't you explain them? It's fun-loving and a chance for you to win a prize.
Hey, are you there? Grandma.
We are
Grandma, it's Richard.
We're years old and our health is real bad. And we don't want...
It's Richard.
Please excuse us. We're
going to hang up.
Maxine, we've got Richard, your grandson, here. Richard, will you say hi to your grandma?
Grandma, hi.
I think he's trying. Richard?
Hi.
Richard,
hi.
Can I ask you to speak up just a little bit?
Okay. Hello, it's me. It's Richard, Grandma.
Yeah.
Okay.
Richard?
Yeah, Richard.
We don't want in on
Hey, no, I'm your grandson, remember?
I don't care. We don't.
It's like living with Ronald Reagan.
Like that. We want out.
They want out, Richard.
Oh, they want out. You're out. Okay.
Well, we'll be completely out and no strings attached.
What do you, ma'am? Can I just stop you for a second, Grandma?
No.
Grandma, this is. We're not selling anything. We're a couple of disc jockeys.
We're just playing a little radio game with Richard, and you're not obligated to come up with anything. We're having some fun with your grandson, Richard, who's right here with us right now.
And he's just answering a question about your life.
Well, we don't want to answer that question.
Okay.
That's private.
All right, that's fair enough.
Totally private.
All totally right. Private.
Richard, could you just tell me, was it in the early 50s?
Love you, Richard.
All right,
lady. Bye, hon.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
All right, that's a first.
Oh, yeah, I know.
There it is. They didn't want in on it, Richard.
I know.
And I think really, you know, in a roundabout way, it was kind of like your fault.
Well, you didn't explain it to Grandma real good.
Well, I explained it to Grandpa. I mean, I guess he didn't explain
it. No, you really didn't.
And Grandpa
Richard.
Just kind of handed the phone off to Grandma.
And Richard, are you close with your grandparents?
Hold on. Let me find him again. There he is. Hey, Richard?
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that they're just real old, man.
They're very old, and normally you can kind of talk to them, you know?
Yeah.
It's not our job, really.
I go over and talk to them.
What do you mean you can go over there and talk to them?
Oh, I go over and talk to them all the time. They just probably thought we were all telemarketing.
But, see, here's the thing, Richard. Why would they think we're telemarketing if it was their grandson on the line with us?
Because that's what I just got done doing for a living was telemarketing.
And did you hit your grandparents up quite a bit?
Oh, no. Oh. Never called them, but they knew I did it.
Well, I think that she was offended by the question. I think she understood
she got
the concept.
At the very end, and when people say they don't want to answer, that's their prerogative.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just, we could have used a little help, Richard.
I tried to get in line, but she was going on my
own. How are you at telemarketing?
Better than I am right now.
All right. All right, listen, Richard, you want a copy of Marilyn Manson's book, The Long, Hard Road Out of Hell, and I'll send one to your grandma also.
All right.
Courtesy of HarperCollins and Crown Books.
All right.
Okay, thank you, Richard.
Thank you.
All right, hold on.
All right.
Hold on, we're just telling jokes here.
Oh, I get it. I get jokes.
We're just telling jokes here.
That was Richard, obviously paralyzed with fear.
All right, let's try somebody else. Okay, let's try...
We're talking to somebody else.
Here's Stan, who's listening to our show in Reno on Sports Radio K-Play, KPLY.
Don and Mike.
Hey, Stan.
How are you guys?
Now, you got to love these names of Stan's grandparents. Yeah. Ida Joe. And Bus.
Oh, that's great.
And that's Bus, like get on the bus?
Yeah, his real name is Stan, too, but he got that nickname in the Korean War, I guess. So.
Is he a big man?
Yeah, he's a pretty tall guy.
Okay.
Do you think you have a better relationship with your grandma and grandpa than the last guy did?
Yeah, I just hope they don't think I'm being mean to him, like the last guy. You know. I hope they want to play.
You know, it's amazing, Stan. You sound exactly like Richard.
I'm sorry, man. Hey, I'll try a different tone of voice. I'm talking like a radio guy.
Well, see, I think that if you have a good relationship with Grandma and Grandpa, you could probably smooth it over with them.
Yeah, yeah, it'll be
and, awesome. And if you think that there's any chance that Grandma and Grandpa won't go along with this, maybe you shouldn't call us.
That's all right. I just hope I don't wake them up from a nap, and then I might catch them off guard. You know, they sleep a lot.
You know, it really does work best when the, you know, when the people call and they think that they, the grandparents or the parents will understand it.
Yeah, well, they should understand. They're not that old. They're,
all right.
They still run a
hold on, please,
big
hold
ranch,
on.
So they're
all
right.
Oh, they run a ranch. You know, this is kind of like family misfits call their grandparents.
They're not taking a dirt nap. Okay, Stan?
Yeah.
Here we go. Call them Ida, Joe, and Bus.
Hopefully we'll have more success than we had with Dean and Maxine.
With the Grandma and Grandpa edition.
Hello?
Of Guess the Whoopee. Is this Ida, Joe?
Who is this speaking, please?
Hi, this is...
Hold on. Hey, Wesley.
Yeah.
Will you get Grandma?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, Wesley. Hey, we're on the air, Wesley.
Dan.
I got to tell you that.
See, it's already more help than Richard gave us. So
he's obedient. He's already gone.
He's obedient.
And who is that?
Hello.
My nephew.
Hello, is this Ida Joe?
Yeah, it is.
Ida Joe, hi. This is Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. We're doing a national radio show right now, and we have your wonderful grandson, Stan, on the line with us.
Say hi, hello. Grandma.
Uh-huh.
How are you doing?
Good.
Okay, hope you don't kill me later.
Okay, I won't.
That's not a promising start, but I'm glad that she won't kill you.
No, I won't.
Now, listen.
Want to explain the game to her, Don?
Yeah, Ida Joe. Oh, hold on a second. Hold on. Hey, Ida Joe, can you hold on, please?
You bet.
You know what?
What's happened?
I forgot to ask Stan the last time that he thought that they did it.
Oh, dear. Oh, that's right.
That's important. Stan, what's your guess?
1985.
85.
85.
Okay, very good. Now we'll talk to Ida Joe.
Okay, Ida Joe?
Yeah.
Now I hung up on Stan.
Oh, dear. Stan's gone.
Hold on,
dear.
Let me double check.
We really need Stan for this.
Hey, Stan?
Yeah, I'm back.
Oh, I got it.
Very good. We've got Ida Joe and her grandson, Stan.
Ida Joe, you there? Okay, listen, we're playing a game called Guess the Whoopee.
Uh-huh.
And it's a chance for your grandson, Stan, to win 50 American dollars, to put it, like, towards a savings account or something.
I'll give it to my grandma if I win.
Something responsible. That's nice, Stan.
Very nice of you, Stanley Stosh.
And we're playing a game called Guess the Whoopee. And, Stan, that's all the help I'm going to give. You have to ask your wonderful grandma the question yourself.
Hey, Grandma, I have to ask you a really important question, okay? It's no big deal. And no one needs to listen to this show here anyway, because we're too far away. Not that it's not a good show or anything.
What was that?
But
he's just handling it whatever way he sees fit.
All right, he's nervous. But no problem.
When was the last year you think that you and Grandpa had sex?
Way to go.
The year?
Yeah,
what year was
year?
It, Grandma?
Oh, my gosh, so many years ago, I don't remember. Oh, I don't know. Probably, gee, 10 years ago.
What would that be, Grandma?
That would be 89.
No, 10 years ago would be 87.
Oh.
No, 10 years ago would be 88.
That's all right, yeah.
Either way, Stan, I'm sorry, that's 3 years away from your guess.
Ida Joe, Stan guessed 1985.
Okay.
But that's okay.
But I wouldn't know either.
Grandma, you're a good sport.
You are, Ida Joe. You're wonderful.
Okay.
Ida Joe, listen, I'm going to send you and your grandson each a copy of Marilyn Manson's book, The Long, Hard Road Out of Hell, courtesy of HarperCollins and Crown Books.
Okay.
Okay?
You bet. You bet.
All right, Don and Mike, thanks.
Wonderful.
Uh-huh.
All right, thank you. Now, both you guys, stay on the line for a second.
I am.
Okay. Hold on. Here is Tara. Tara, who's going to be the last one to try Guess the Whoopee today. We've had no winners thus far. The first grandma would not participate in the game, and the second grandma was a couple of years off.
Yeah, just very close, though. Very close. She didn't really remember herself.
Is this Tara?
Hi, yes.
Hi, and you are listening to us on WJFK, right?
Yes.
In Baltimore?
Yes. Well, yeah.
Beautiful.
Close to Baltimore.
Calling Mom and Dad, rather Grandma and Grandpa now, and they are Pip. And Ken, how old is Pip?
I think she's 66, but she could be 65.
Is she a Pip?
She's actually a Lolita.
A Lolita?
Her name is Lolita, but everyone calls her Pip.
Lolita.
And what about Ken? How old is Ken?
Ken is 70.
Okay, now your grandma and grandpa, I know you probably haven't thought a lot about their sex life.
And not too much.
But now that you have noodled it through, at least for a couple of seconds, when is the last time that you think your grandma and grandpa got up on a sink?
That is the way you think of it now. Ever since that little occasion of intercourse.
That's a really nasty visual.
Should have seen it.
My uncle is 30, so I'm going to say 68.
So 1968 is your guess?
Yeah.
So you think the last time that they had sex was when they conceived your uncle?
Yep.
Okay.
They're not real active.
All right, hold the line, please, Tara. Let me call them up here.
1968.
Okay.
Richard had you beat with Dean and Maxine. He said 53, but 68 is going back a long time, too.
That's Hubert H. Humphrey time. 68. That's Batman was still on
Hello.
TV. Hello, is this Pip?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Pip, this is Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara. We're doing a national radio show right now. And we have your granddaughter, Tara, on the line with us. Or is it Tara? Which is it, Tara?
Tara.
Tara, go ahead and say hi to your grandmother.
Hi, man.
Hi, Pooper Scooper.
Kill you.
Listen, Pip.
Yes.
We're going to give Pooper Scooper the chance to win $50 here.
Okay.
We're playing a game on our show called Guess the Whoopee. And, well, Tara, listen, I'm going to let you take it over here with your grandma now.
Okay, man.
Yeah.
Think really hard. I know you have trouble remembering even yesterday.
Yeah.
The last time that you and Pop had sex. What year was it?
That's why we called the game Guess the Whoopee, Pip, and now you have to guess.
Ah. We'll
figure it out.
Well.
What year would that have been, Pip?
Let me see. 1962.
Oh!
So very close.
Mike is 30. How could that happen? You had to have done it in 68.
Hey, Grandma, she's got you there.
Yes, you do.
Hey, would you like to modify your story, Pip?
Yeah, I think that was 68.
68. All right.
We'll give it to you.
Oh, really, if it's been that period of inactivity deserves a reward.
We'll give it to you. Oh, boy. Hey, Tara, we're gonna give you $50.
Great.
And we're going to send you and your grandma both a copy of Marilyn Manson's book, The Long, Hard Road Out of Hell.
Great.
And that's from HarperCollins and Crown Books. Yeah. Grandma, I think you'll really like the pictures in this book.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
Sure, I will.
And you'll enjoy it too, Pooper Scooper.
Great, I can't wait.
All right, so the answer was 62, but we think it was really 68.
That's right.
Since that's when the uncle was born.
That's
was that,
right.
Pip, was that the last time that you had relations right after?
Absolutely. Did I lie to you?
Absolutely.
And Pip?
That's really sad, man.
I'm a very sad person. Now you know why.
All right, thank you, Tara, Pooper Scooper, and thank you, Pip.
Okay.
All right, hold the line.
Thank you.
Kids, stay right there, and we'll be back.
Okay.
And now we'll eavesdrop.
Uh-huh.
This time we'll eavesdrop.
That's great. I was hoping you would answer and not Pop.
Well, here I am. That's wild. Where are you at?
I'm in the car.
Oh, okay.
You know, wild. Mom and Tom listen to this radio show.
Do they really?
Yeah. I don't know if they're listening or not.
That is funny.
I figured you'd appreciate that.
Oh, that's pretty good. You don't mind we were listening, do you?
Yeah, we were eavesdropping. Sorry about that, you guys.
All right, hold the line.
If I would have known.
Hold the line, kids.
Okay.
This time, really, hold on. Well, all right, there's a big wiener to end the show.
That is a good winner. I like that.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, George.
Hi.
Hi.
What's the matter?
My mother caught me.
Caught you? Doing what?
You know. I was alone.
You mean? She caught you?
Where? I stopped by the house to drop the car off, and I went inside for a few minutes. Nobody was there. They're supposed to be working. My mother had a Glamour magazine. I started reading.
Glamour?
So one thing led to another.
So what does she do?
First she screams, George, what are you doing? My God! And it looked like she was going to faint. She started clutching the wall, trying to hang on to it.
Man.
I didn't know whether to try and keep her from falling or zip up.
What did you do?
I zipped up.
Zipped
up? Yeah. Well, I couldn't run over there the way I was.
No, I wouldn't think so.
So she fell, and then she started screaming, my back, my back. So I picked her up. I took her to the hospital.
Oh,
she's in traction.
Sorry.
It's not funny, Elaine.
I know. I'm sorry.
Her back went out. She's got to be there for a couple of days. All she said on the way over in the car was, why, George, why?
said, because it's there.
Glamour?
The Don and Mike Show.
Expertly aged, like a fine cheddar. The best of Don and Mike.
It's a good day.
You know what it is? Maybe it's all the Jerry Seinfeld stuff. Maybe it really is that people are just tired of being treated like children with Jerry being our dad.
Jerry is being shoved down our throat, in my humble opinion.
And now we're going to shove back.
Absolutely.
Let's start by calling. This is ridiculous. And, oh, listen, no matter what anybody says, we're not having Kenny Kramer on today.
Okay. No!
We're not. Okay. He keeps calling and asking.
Right.
Tom's Restaurant in New York City.
Okay.
It's the place where they filmed the exterior shot where it says restaurant.
Monk's yes. Diner.
Where supposedly Jerry and his pals always go to eat.
Sure.
Well, this morning there was something like 500 idiots that were standing in front of that place.
Hello! We're here because tonight is the last episode of the Jerry Seinfeld show.
Right, like, hi. 12 hours before the show, they're standing there.
God.
So let's call the restaurant now and see what the mood is like.
What's the mood there? And hopefully, you know, it is New York. We hope we get one of those genuine New Yorkers. What do you want?
All right, Tom's Restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Tom's.
Yeah, hey, Tom's. This is the Don and Mike radio show. How are you, my friend?
Very fine, thank you. Radio show, my friend.
Radio show.
Yeah, radio show.
Question for you. How many deranged Americans are standing in front of your restaurant right now?
So many. It's going to be so many more.
You're going to be glad when all this hype is over?
Yeah, we'll have some surprise coming in.
Uh-huh. Pardon me?
There's going to come some big surprise.
You have a big surprise? When is the big surprise supposed to arrive?
Coming up now, in a little while.
Oh, really? Soon. Well, tell us we're not in New York City. What's the surprise?
I can say that.
Wow. Can you give us a hint?
I can.
What, are you gonna spit on all the food or something?
No. I'm going very, very, very welcome.
Oh, you're going very, very, very welcome.
So you say there is a surprise. Is the surprise some person that's coming to your restaurant?
Yes, the best, one of the best men in the world are coming.
So you're happy with all of the attention that your restaurant's getting now, right?
Of course.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Would the mayor be coming to your restaurant?
I don't know.
I just had a hunch. Yes, you did.
Really,
I just
the
had
mayor.
A hunch. The mayor. Mayor Giuliani will be coming to your restaurant?
Maybe.
Maybe it's Mayor McCheese, Mike.
Hey. You know something, guys?
What's that?
I like you very much.
I like you.
You're the best.
Well, I like, you're trying to get rid of us, aren't you?
No.
Here's the question. With all the people that are standing out in line in front of your restaurant,
right?
What are they doing there?
I don't know. I can't ask everybody what you're doing there.
What? Can you look out the window and tell me what are they doing? Are they just congregating? Are they just standing?
It's just standing and looking around.
Do any of them have signs?
No.
Are you selling any food to them out there?
To the public? No. Yeah. Only to the party.
To the party? Who's having a party? Oh, the
Maxim magazine is having a private party there tonight.
Oh, really?
Oh,
wow.
What is the number one selling item at your diner?
Everything.
What is your favorite item on the menu?
Me?
Yeah.
I got 24 years here, and the menu is the best. I worked 24 years of my life in this place.
God bless you, sir.
Aren't you sick of all the Seinfeld hype?
The what, sir?
All of the Seinfeld hype.
Yeah.
Aren't you sick of it?
I think after 24 years,
no.
You get a little better handle on the language. What is your favorite item that you serve? What is the best item that you serve? Your personal favorite.
If you work in one place 24 years, maybe you like a slice of pizza.
A slice of pizza.
I like a hamburger right now.
Hamburger?
I like a steak. I like stuffed crumbs.
Very nice.
Okay, bye. I have somebody on the line.
All right, bye.
Hey, bye-bye.
Bye.
There he
all
is.
Right, bye.
A little ugly there, but by and large, I kind of like the guy.
Yeah. No, he was a good guy. He liked us.
Yeah, he did see. I like you.
All right, now here's another one we're going to try. The Soup Nazi. The real Soup Nazi.
Al. Always a pleasure calling Al.
Now, we've had this guy on our show before, and he doesn't like being on the radio.
No, he doesn't. And that's what makes it kind of a pleasure.
And he hates the N-word.
Yes.
He really hates the N-word.
Right. Nazi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That usually pushes him over the edge.
Or as I like pronouncing it, Nazi.
Nazi.
I do it phonetically.
Lots of controversy.
What a horrible thing to say.
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, Soup Dude.
Hello?
Hello, hey, this is the Don and Mike Radio Show. Is Al there?
This is me, yes.
Hey, Al. How you doing, buddy?
Listen. Okay.
I want to talk to one guy who I know can relate to what I'm saying.
Okay,
I am sick.
Behave.
I am sick of all of the hype about Jerry Seinfeld. I wish Jerry Seinfeld would...
Oh, I love what you're saying. Talk to me now.
Yeah. I wish that Jerry Seinfeld would go away and leave us all alone.
I think this Seinfeld stuff stinks. We're tired of it, Al. Are you tired of it?
I am tired of it. This clown is not talented to have any show.
I agree with you, Al.
Using me, my business, my reputation to cash in, to make a lot of money, and he did already.
And you're not seeing a dime from that, are you, Al?
They are making $1 billion, including Special Bush and NBC.
Right.
Money and using the people like sense, yeah.
And, hey, have they given you any money at all, Al?
No.
You know what I say, Al, and I know you can't say this, but I say, screw Seinfeld.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Screw him.
Yeah.
You.
All right, listen, soup for you. Thank you, Al.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
I will guarantee you that was the most pleasant that man has been
ever.
Anyone who has ever called him.
Mm-hmm. That's the real soup Nazi.
Yeah, right.
You notice I didn't call him a Nazi.
Good. It's over. If you call him the soup Nazi, really, he hangs up.
Yeah.
And I've never heard him more pleasant.
No.
Yeah, the right angle for him. Yeah, you're right. Hey, I hate that man.
What was he saying about NBC? Something about NBC.
Had a little naughty. Had a little nasty there that kind of slipped through. Yes, unless he was saying the National Bullshooter Company.
Right? Oh, really? Well, I really couldn't understand what he was saying.
Neither could I.
No one could.
Neither could Buzz.
All right, well, there is a friendly ear for the show right there.
Yeah, I hate him, too. Not one dime. Not one dime he gave me in my soups.
The soup Nazi.
Hey.
All right, let's continue now. Let's next call Jerry Seinfeld's production office.
Oh. Beg. Let's beg for an interview with the star.
Here's where it turns out.
I'm sorry. Everyone
now
wants to talk.
Here's the angle, though.
Okay.
Are you ready, Victor?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Bobby.
The perfect call for...
There we go.
Al Nipple.
I'm Al Nipple.
And I'm Victor Amos.
Production.
Yeah, two for the road. Bing bong, 2 minutes past four. Hello, sir. My name is Al Nipple.
And Victoritis, and we're calling the Seinfeld production office right now. How you doing today? We're live on the radio.
Tell you first, yes, we're live on the Westwood One Radio Network doing our national drive time show. Two for the road. It's Bing bong, 2 minutes past the hour. News, traffic, weather together. Coming right up, I'm Al Nipple.
And I'm Victoritis. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm fine.
Great. I want to tell you something, Pachango. We are counting down the hours until Jerry Seinfeld signs off tonight. Would it be possible that you could tell us the secret ending of the show right here with Al Nipple?
And Victor Amos, could you let us in on the secret?
I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you, obviously.
That's that Hollywood humor. I love that.
John, hey, listen.
Oh, funny guy.
Is there an outside shot that we could interview one of the stars?
They're nobody's here. It's just kind of a skeleton crew.
We would accept one of your secondary stars like Pootie.
Pootie, yeah, the fellow that does the commercials for cars now. The Pootie, right?
I'm excited about the show tonight. Mom and I are getting a big bowl of five-alarm chili.
Oh, I know. Your mother, you actually had to turn her on to the show, Seinfeld, because it was a little blue. And now you both enjoy it together when you're at home with Mom.
Some of the episodes, I don't mind telling you, are a little racy for me. I have to turn down the volume sometimes.
But I'll tell you, Al Nipple, you can't turn off these people that are so crazy about the Seinfeld show.
Victor Anus, he is the modern day I Love Lucy. It's a gender bender combat, but it's worth
it. Sure, yeah.
The fabulous Jerry Seinfeld. Hey, two for the road, bing bong, 3 minutes past the hour, news, traffic, weather, together coming up on a good-looking Thursday.
So let me tell you something, sir. What's the buzz around the Seinfeld production office? Everybody getting very excited about the big countdown to the big show?
It's pretty interesting around here. As happy as people are about the excitement that it's all generating, there's also a good feeling of kind of relief that it's finally kind of winding down.
Yeah.
There's a lot of just the expectations, the spotlight that shines on the show.
I'll tell you something always makes me laugh. I'm Al Nipple.
And I'm Victor Inez.
4 past the hour now. Traffic, weather, together, coming up on your Good Time station.
Yes, sir.
I love it when the Kramer fella comes through the door. Have you noticed this? He always makes some kind of a wacky entrance when he comes through Jerry's door.
He does that every time. Would it be safe to say, and I might be wrong here, but correct me if I'm wrong, because I hate to be wrong, does he do that every single time he comes through the door? Does he do some kind of crazy mime?
He has done some sort of variation on the dramatic, the door opens and he slides in with some sort of, hey, Jer, hey, what's up? Interestingly enough, somebody, the fans all over the country, somebody actually went through a catalog of episodes and counted each individual time he did that. It was well into the 200 plus.
That's great.
Wow. Incredible.
That is
Five minutes past the hour right now. You're with Two for the Road with traffic, weather, together, coming up. News, sports, traffic, it's your total package. We're talking right now to, I believe, an assistant producer of the Jerry Seinfeld Show out in Hollyweird as we count down. Now, don't forget, we're going to be having our big Al Nipple Victor Inez party tonight. That'll be at the Cinnamon Draft House. You can come down and see Jerry, and of course, we'll have lots of non-alcoholic beverages for consumption.
It's going to be an incredible evening. We know that you're as excited about the finale of Seinfeld as we are, and listen, don't forget to get the fantastic Al Nipple Victor Inez combs, which will be heading out of the door. They're lovely little combs made completely out of plastic, and they're all for you, and they're biodegradable, I understand. It's a special plastic alloy.
Now, tonight on the show, I understand you can have a whole bunch of former bit players who were involved in the show. Is that correct?
Without saying anything too much, we've got a long list of guest stars that people will be familiar with. So.
Exclusive right here.
As far as I can go.
Exclusive on 2-4 the Road.
And you heard what he said. He said that's as far as he can go.
All right, then. We'll be good journalists. We won't press the issue.
Is there any little nugget you could throw Al Nipple Victor Inez's way today? Anything you could share with us on the 2 for the Road show before we have to say sayonara?
Isn't anything. There just isn't. I would hate to do it because I know there's a lot of people. I know there's a lot of people that that would like to sit and watch it and not know anything. The surprise is better. The experience is better. I know it's kind of frustrating. You're like, I just want a little piece.
Oh, it's so frustrating.
Honestly,
give us a taste, buddy.
Everybody will be happy if they don't know and they just watch it.
All right. What if I was to tell you this? And please do not be insulted by this. It's 7 minutes past the hour right now. I'm out of ball.
And I'm Victor Inez.
We got your traffic, weather together, eye of the sky, our traffic girl coming up with your commuter traffic back to back on the freeways right now. I, as I mentioned, sometimes find the Jerry Seinfeld show
a little racy. Yeah, sure, of course. Yeah.
So we in the Nipple home, we turn on Diagnosis Murder,
which is a fine show in its own right, but of course, up against the Seinfeld juggernaut, it's that's a tall order for any other show. Yeah.
So let's say there's some of us out there, right, kicking Americans, who maybe think that there's a line that Jerry and his friends cross sometimes, and rather than see something offensive, if I was going to be watching Diagnosis Murder tonight, could you please tell me what the ending is of Jerry Seinfeld?
I actually cannot.
Oh, he tried to trick you.
No.
Al Nipple tried to trick you.
I tried. I love the Hollywood.
People that would be watching other shows, they wouldn't be interested.
I love the show, folks. I love the show. People, bing bong, it's 4:08, 8 past the hour.
Let me ask you something, one last question here.
Sure.
Jerry thinks kind of his audience that we're like children, right? Didn't he make that comment?
That was a quote on Dateline NBC with Stone Phillips, a fantastic reporter. Stone Phillips, I really think he's a rising star in the world of NBC News.
And a good-looking guy, really fantastic guy. And he thinks of us as children, so could you tell me, are the children going to be disappointed tonight?
The children will only be disappointed that this is the last episode and there won't be another one to follow. That's the only disappointment they'll be.
All right, we want to thank you so much for your time, for chatting with us all the way from Hollyweird.
We never got a first name. What's your first name? Can you share that with us?
My name is Terrence.
Terrence. Good talking to you. Well, I'm Al Nipple.
And I'm Victor Inez.
And it's 2 for the Road right now. It's 9 minutes past.
Meet the intern.
All right. He was excited.
He was.
Good chance to do a big radio interview.
Al Nipple and Victor Rinkus. I didn't know that Al Nipple lived with his mom.
Yeah, Ma Nipple.
You have to think of the audience as a child that you're in charge of. And you have to do right by the child. And the child will ask for things that they shouldn't be given, because it'll make them ultimately less happy. It'll be a better feeling for them. They'll look back on this thing and have something that they experienced in their lives that didn't go to hell.
Right, Jerry. You tell that to the soup Nazi.
Yeah.
He's not very happy with you.
Pomposus acetosis.
All right. Final question for you. How big a load is Jerry Seinfeld?
Is he a little deluded? I mean, come on now. Boss, be my buddy.
Buddy. Wheel? Ah, excuse me. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Said you don't sleep in separate bedrooms, and I'm going to confess, okay, this is live TV, and I'm copping out right here because I didn't spend my life as a serious journalist to ask these kinds of questions. But I'm not oblivious to the fact that your fans had one question they most wanted to ask of you.
Do we have...
We have...
I didn't ask.
You don't know what it was going to be.
Is that what you were going to ask?
Let's play just a minute or two. Let's play one or two.
We want to know if you've done the thing.
Michael, I know that this is an intimate question, but are you having sex together with Lisa Marie?
Do you guys really love each other, or you're just doing this to satisfy the media?
Are you guys intimate?
Again, I can't believe
it.
This is about skepticism.
Yes, yes, yes.
And we have read in the papers that you are expecting a child.
We will be expecting a child. No, when, I'm not going to...
We're not going to say when.
First
up in the hands of the heavens.
But not yet.
The Don and Mike Show. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Happy Veterans Day.
This is Maury Pope, host of A Current Affair, wishing you all a very happy new year.
No.
Marino Boyle, wishing you all a very happy new year.
We'll find it.
It's not right.
Hello?
This is Maury Pope. Happy new year.
No, Maury, wrong.
Hello? Lady?
This is Maureen O'Boyle. Happy New Year.
No.
Maury.
This is Maury Povich. Until the new year, America.
See you guys next year.
No. No, no.
Wrong. This is Maury Povich, and from all of us at A Current Affair, Happy New Year.
This wrong holiday.
Maureen O'Boyle, and from all of us at A Current Affair, Happy New Year.
Will you guys stop it?
The new year.
They say Happy Veterans Day somewhere.
Hi, this is Maury Povich. Happy Valentine's Day from all of us at A Current Affair.
This is Maureen O'Boyle. I want to wish all of you a happy Groundhog's Day.
Wrong.
Oops.
Hello?
Maury?
This is Maury Povich wishing you a happy Valentine's Day.
No. Maureen?
Mo.
Mo O'Boyle. Mo O.
Happy Valentine's Day from all of us at A Current Affair.
Oh, boy, where's this Maury Povich? Happy Valentine's Day to my favorite radio station.
That sounded sincere.
Yeah.
This is Maureen O'Boyle wishing you a happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you again.
Happy St. Patrick's Day from everyone at A Current Affair.
Say au fair. All right.
Kooky. You are kooky, Maury.
Oh, hold on.
Happy St. Patrick's Day from Maureen O'Boyle on A Current Affair.
She stole his joke.
You're copying him, Maureen. This is Maury Povich. Happy Mother's Day.
Maury.
And that's M-U-T-H-A. Happy Mother's Day.
Hi, Mom. Day. It's Maureen. Happy Mother's Day.
She wasn't sincere about that either.
Oh, no, she's not.
This is Maureen O'Boyle wishing all our moms Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you, Maureen.
All you mothers.
Hi, this is Maury Povich, hoping everyone has a great Memorial Day weekend.
Here we go, we're getting close.
Yeah.
We're getting close.
Hi, this is Maureen O'Boyle.
This is Maury Povich. Enjoy Memorial Day weekend, everybody, and remember the people who have made this country great.
Oh, Memorial Day.
This is Maureen O'Boyle.
Close.
Enjoy Memorial Day weekend, everybody, and remember the people who fought to keep this country great.
Right.
This is Maury Povich. I love the summertime. Enjoy your Memorial Day weekend.
I love your sincerity, sure.
Hi, this is Maureen O'Boyle. Happy birthday, America.
All right. Now
she cares.
Maury.
She's up to 4th of July.
Hi, I'm Maury Povich. Happy birthday, America.
Ah, yeah. I got him synchronized now.
Forever great, America.
Forever.
Forever.
Baby.
She is such a patriot. She's a super patriot.
She is.
Yeah.
And she likes her mother.
Happy July 4th from all of us at A Current Affair.
All right, Maury.
We're waiting for Veterans Day. Maury.
I'm trying to cue ahead here.
Maury. Maureen.
One of them's got to be... Oh, Maury's ready first.
This is Maury Povich, host of A Current Affair. Enjoy your Labor Day, everyone.
Hey, here we go. Ah. Getting closer.
I tell you, we're almost there.
Mo?
Mo O'Boyle?
Something has happened to the Mo O'Boyle disc.
Mo O.
Hello, let me see. Uh-oh.
This is Maury Povich. Goblins beware. Tonight's A Current Affair will be a hair-raising experience.
That's the last big one.
Yeah. All right.
This
Maury
is it.
O'Boyle?
So you got...
I have two discs here. They sent out the exact same script... 1 year when they changed hosts of A Current Affair.
When they moved Maury out and moved Maureen in.
Hi, this is Maureen O'Boyle, wishing you a happy Hanukkah.
Oh, dear, you've skipped
ahead. Oh, I've gone past.
You've missed it. You've skipped it. So the year
I'm
is
Maury
over.
Povich, trick or treat on A Current Affair tonight.
He's closer.
He starts talking about goblins.
Beware.
Hi, this is Maury Povich. Will tonight's A Current Affair be a trick or a treat? Watch it and see.
Yeah. Maury Povich. Yeah, watch it and see.
You know, I don't know what's wrong with the Maureen. Ah, there, the Maureen O'Boyle has finally queued up.
Maureen? This is Maureen O'Boyle, and if you think it's hot outside, wait till you see A Current Affair tonight.
That's kind of generic. It could be hot in December.
Yeah. I think it's hot outside. Check out my pants.
I'm a hottie. I'm a big
hot
Maureen.
And cold. Watch A Current Affair tonight. It's hot.
Hi, this is Maury Povich, wishing you a great new year.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
Wait
Hold
a minute.
On.
No All Veterans
right.
Day?
Wait a minute. I didn't skip ahead on Maury's. All right,
oh,
cut
no.
number nine.
This is Maury Povich. Happy Mother's Day.
Oh, no. This is a travesty. This is an injustice.
You know what? I'm finally looking at the script.
No Veterans Day?
They don't do a Veterans Day. It goes New Year, Valentine's, St. Patrick, Mother's.
How dare they?
Memorial, 4th of July, Labor Day, Halloween, Rosh Hashanah, Thanksgiving.
Chanukah?
What is Chanukah?
I believe that's
Hanukkah.
Hanukkah, Don.
I love their song. I get knocked down. And I know that's
Chumbawamba.
Yes. And I know it. And Hanukkah. And
Hanukkah.
Christmas and weather. No, I guess they don't have a Veterans
no
Day.
No Veterans Day?
Sorry.
This is Maury Povich wishing all you moms happy Mother's Day.
Oh, no.
Oh, but we do have the Maury Povich interview.
Oh, very good.
All right, let's listen to some of the Maury Povich interview tracks.
With real questions you can ask.
Hey, Maury. How come you're such a dick?
We just find them everywhere. I mean, now that this show has gotten so popular, most of our stories, or a lot of our stories, come from viewers who see the show, see the kinds of stories we do, and say, hey, you've got to come to our town. You won't believe what's happening here.
Yeah. Hey, Maury, how come you can't seem to knock up your wife?
Yeah, it's an unbelievable sound effect, and it's really the first thing we did when we sat down in the summer of 1986 to start A Current Affair. One of our producers said, "Well, we have to have a sound effect."
Yeah. Hey, Maury, when are you going to host the People's Court?
I get very awkward about that and embarrassed. I prefer to believe that we're not a hit because...
Answer the question.
The last thing A Current Affair needs is a sense of big shot-itis. We've always believed that there's room to improve. And
you're not hosting that show anymore,
really
Maury.
We don't know what the show
Excuse
is.
Me.
And we take a fresh start every day, and it's a very...
But Maury's got a lot of phlegm, too.
A Current Affair, so I try to just step back from...
And the Maureen O'Boyle one seems to be malfunctioning over here.
Really?
It's misfiring.
I just want to thank you listeners because...
Why?
You listeners become our viewers, and to give us this kind of a run in television has been terrific. And I want to also thank all the DJs because all these months that we've been doing this
with
you,
the DJs.
Talking to you during drive time and other parts of the day.
Thank you, yes.
I mean, you really drive have time, been able
baby.
To... Get our name out.
Are you a smoker?
Circulate it.
Maury, are you a cigarette smoker?
You're as much a part of
answer the question.
Success as we are.
We are Thank not. You. Don't care about disc jockeys.
You hear that show?
Thank you very much, and until next time, America.
You hear that? The one before he gives that real L.A. thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Maury, thank ye.
Hi, I'm Maury Povich.
Hello.
And here's my biggest fan to tell you what's coming up tonight on A Current Affair.
Buzz?
Yes.
Aren't you his biggest
fan?
Never mind.
And they said it couldn't be done.
There she is. Hey, who's that lovely lady?
I think it's, we're back
now
with...
that's A Current Affair.
And where did she come from?
We're back with Maureen O'Boyle. Mo?
Maureen.
This is Maury Povich.
Hey!
And you won't believe what's on A Current Affair tonight.
It's on A Current Affair tonight.
I guess disc jockeys used to run these all the time.
If you think you've heard it all, listen to what's on A Current Affair tonight.
Make-believe interview.
How's that for a scoop? Another A Current Affair exclusive.
So almost like they're talking together.
Hi, this is Maury Povich. Let's hear what's on A Current Affair tonight.
Maureen. How you can't knock your wife up.
Where do we find these stories?
I don't know, Maureen.
Me either.
You tomato.
Tonight on A Current Affair, you gotta see it to believe it.
Incredible. Bet you can't wait to see this one, huh, guys?
She might be a smoker also.
Maury? Are you ready for something really incredible?
Yeah.
Check out A Current Affair tonight. Going to be eating fortune cookies in bed with your wife? Maury?
Maureen?
Maureen?
Incredible.
Yes, it is.
Is that Connie?
Hi, this is Maury Povich, and we have a sensational story on A Current Affair tonight.
Yeah.
Jive.
All right.
Sensational.
Look at my shorts.
Jive. Hey, everybody, good morning. Johnny in the morning joining us right now on our newsmaker hotline, my good friend Maury Povich.
Hi, I'm Maury Povich, and have I got a story for you tonight on A Current Affair. Here's my best buddy to tell you about it.
Hey, here I am, everybody. I'm Maury's best buddy.
Best buddy.
This has to be one of the craziest stories we've done in a long time on A Current Affair.
Yes, Tollbridge, man.
This is Maury Povich. Who's going to tell me what's on A Current Affair tonight?
Buzz! Your biggest fan.
Hey, guys, this is Maury Povich, and I tell you, tonight's A Current Affair is not to be missed. Listen to this.
Tonight, Carlos the Jackal. Profiled. Ken Stevens revealed.
Where's the ones where he talks about, like, these guys play my favorite country music on the radio?
Or you get the one, here's the hottest sound in town.
And they said it couldn't be done.
What?
Now, that's A Current Affair.
Right? Stop promoting the show. Promote our show.
It's more. A Current Affair tonight.
All right. Cut number four. Let me try cut number... There are no veterans today, we found.
Last night's A Current Affair was great, but wait till you hear about tonight's show.
Oh, shut up.
God, he's so excited, he doesn't even host the show.
Take care of your wife. Number five.
Take care of Connie.
Cut number five.
Maury, take care of me.
Hi, this is Maury Povich, host of A Current Affair, and here's my favorite newscast.
There it is. That one I want to say for you. Buzz, let me try that one again.
Oh, that's great.
Let me cue that one up. That's one we should have on file anyway.
Hi, this is Maury Povich, host of A Current Affair, and here's my favorite newscast.
Thanks, Maury.
Hi, I'm Maury Povich, and we'll see you again tomorrow morning at 6. Right here on your number one station. Until next time, America.
I tried right here in the morning zoo, everybody. See you tomorrow.
See you, Maury.
Until next time, America.
Thank you, Maury.
Yeah, baby.
He's good people.
A Current Affair. It's hot. Just like your pants. You guys are too much.
Thank you, Maury. Yeah, you too. That's right back at you.
This is Maury Povich, host of A Current Affair, and you're listening to my favorite station.
No.
What station is that? Whatever it is, right.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Maury Povich, and you're listening to the only real rockers on the dial.
We rock.
Hi, this is...
See? There's a problem with that disc.
Boy, it sounded like it was artificial. That wasn't really
Maury. I'm Maury Povich. Stay tuned, because you have a chance to be a winner with...
WXXX! W.
Wake up, America. This is Maury Povich, and you're listening to the best morning team around.
That's right, the Breakfast Flex.
It is the best morning team around.
Good morning, everyone. This is Maury Povich, host of A Current Affair. And if you don't wake up with these guys every morning, your coffee just won't taste the same.
Thank you, Maury. 703.
That's clever writing.
What's this?
That's the Kachung.
All right. Well, that's nice.
Mo? Hey, if these guys can't wake you up in the morning, nobody can.
And you know, when you say Mo, it can be for either one of them. Mo or Mo. Yeah.
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful. Wow. That's what A Current Affair and the morning team have in common.
Weird.
How generic can you possibly make it? That's what The Current Affair and the morning team have in common.
Best team around.
Happy Valen. 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 Happy.
Oh, it's not. Okay, all right.
That's a good musician. Happy Valen.
This is Maury Povich, host of A Current Affair. Wake up!
Wake up, you pig!
Tell me that's not what you want to hear first thing in the morning.
Wake up!
Maury Povich.
Hi, I'm Maury Povich, and it's time to liven up the afternoon with the best mix in town.
There it is. Finally, there's what we can use.
The best mix in town.
You got it, buddy.
Hey, guys, it's Maury Povich. Let's rock.
Because you're a rocker, Maury. You are a rocker.
Hi, guys, this is Maury Povich. Crank it up.
He likes the headbanging music.
Crank this up, Maury.
Hey, everybody, this is Maury Povich telling you it's time to take it on home and tune into A Current Affair.
Hey, where's Veterans Day, Maury?
Yeah, baby. No time for veterans, though.
Come on,
hello?
Maury. You guys are so smooth.
Thank you, Maury.
Yeah.
This is Maury Povich, guys. How about an afternoon pick-me-up on my favorite radio station?
Yeah, we're going to put your head in a vice and pop your eyes out.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Maury Povich, and you're tuned to the best country music sound around. Let's hear it, guys.
All right, so I took the butcher knife, and I put it up to her neck.
All right, one more.
This is Maury Povich. Now, I've been on a lot of radio programs, but you guys are the wildest.
Wild.
Wildest.
We're the wildest, dog.
It's got nothing about Veterans Day.
Oh, wow. I can't. How dare they?
All right. Bad. Well, there's our annual look at Maury Povich and Maureen O'Boyle.
Just a little taste of the wild, weird, wonderful.
Right here on the morning team.
Hello, everyone. This is Maury Povich, host of A Current Affair. And when Connie and I are back in Washington, we sleep right through Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. That's right. That's because we're on in the afternoon.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Are you going to sing and dance with him?
I'm going to do the chants. We have a chants national anthem.
Okay.
You ready? Stand up, chants. Okay?
Come on, Donnie.
Okay. I wrote this song myself.
This is a good boy. This is a nice boy. This is a happy boy. This is the chancy man. The little chancy man. Ah, we love the chancy man, the chancy man. We love his little nosy and we love his little coat. And that is why we love the chancy man, the chancy man.
All right, Professor Karsh, we've opened up our phone lines, and we are also being broadcast to domestic viewers in the United States as well. And our first caller actually is from the U.S. state of Maryland. His name is Stephen. Stephen, go ahead with your question.
Well, my question is this. Saddam Hussein has been challenged because of his honesty about his propagation of weapons of mass destruction, and our president has been questioned on his sense of honesty and his use of public office to cover himself. I personally trust Don and Mike more than these two people.
Professor Karsh, you want to take an attempt at that one?
I think basically there is an asymmetry in the dishonesty of these two people, with all due respect. President Clinton may or may have not lied under oath in court, but Saddam Hussein has inflicted unprecedented devastation of the Middle East during his 20 years in power. He invaded two states, leading to the deaths of more than a million people, repressed his own people, used chemical weapons against them. So I don't see the point of comparison.
The Don and Mike Show. If you haven't heard it, it's new to you. If you have, shut up and listen anyway. The best of Don and Mike.
A guy who was going to the bathroom and heard some guys bad-mouthing our show, so he peed on their shoes. Yeah, is this Chris?
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
How the hell are you guys doing?
Great.
Check it out. I'm a fairly new listener. I just turned on your show a couple months ago, but damn it, I'm a fan.
There you
Thank
go.
You. Anyway, I work downtown at Arthur Anderson.
Are you soul brother?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So anyway.
Was it some other brothers talking about our show?
Well, I think it was some old white guy.
Okay.
So anyway, I'm walking into the restroom, and this two guys are in the stall, and they're bad-mouthing your show.
Oh.
And I'm thinking, this ignorant peasant. So, he's cross-referencing your show to, like, that Grease guy and Stern.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
All
at
right.
this point, I'm livid. So I go into the stall, you know, next to the guy who's running his mouth right, and I see his shiny, almost new-like shoes underneath the stall. So I'm sitting there taking a whiz, and about halfway through, I aim and I'm starting to piss on his shoes right now. And he doesn't realize it at first, but when he does, he starts cursing and trying to, I guess one was coming out, because he starts trying to get up.
Oh, you mean he was sitting down? He was sitting down doing a number two.
But yeah, he's taking a dump. So his hands fall even further, and he's trying to grab it, and I'm getting his hands, everything. Meanwhile, he's cursing up all kinds of stuff, like, who the hell is over there?
He's a devoted listener.
Anyway.
Hey, listen, you're a good listener, my friend.
You're the listener of the month, man.
Hey, anyway, I leave out the stall, I kick his right, and as I'm walking out the door, I give him one of your patented Don and Mike. Yeah, baby!
Good one. Hey, thank you, my friend.
That's great. Just let it be known, down at Off Anderson, no one bad mouthed your show in my presence.
Bravo!
Right on, man.
All right. You guys are great.
Thank you. He is a fan. That is a, would that every fan would be like that.
Wow. Drop their pants and immediately urinate on the feet of those
and do it.
To speak ill of our show.
And do it intelligently, you know, halfway through. Get them, you know, catch them when they're napping and then bingo, shoot over there. Way to go.
Hey, Rudy.
How you doing? How you doing, guys?
How about those Bulls, huh?
I actually was rooting for them. By the end, I was.
Even though you knew that if the Bulls won the championship, you would have to be in here the following day eating a cracker with dog food on it.
When it came down to it, I'd rather have Michael Jordan be the champ than Karl Malone. What do you want?
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
Really? Why'd you bet on Utah, then?
I thought they'd win. I mean, I really did. It let myself and many millions of basketball fans, but I didn't have that insight into the game like you did, Don.
That's a bunch of crap.
That went so easy. He jumped on it so quickly.
You know, that's a bunch of crap. I just know not to bet against Michael Jordan, man.
Yeah. Well, that's
weird. Even though he pushed last night on that last play, it was illegal to sell. He pushed Russell way out of the way.
He did.
But he's Michael Jordan.
You know, the last time you ate dog food on the show, Rudy, you actually prepared. You had said that you had sampled some dog food. Did you do that this time around?
There's a difference, Mike, which I had to be reminded by Charlie, and that is, it was cat food last time.
Oh, that's right.
I didn't. So I'm sure this stuff will taste better.
We've got it right here, Rudy. Veterinarian Hills Science Diet Canine Maintenance. And because we love you, Rudy, it's the chicken formula.
Oh, that's great. It's a great time.
The crackers we have selected are these Nabisco Thin Crisps. French onion.
That'll cut through.
Let me come back Wednesday. I don't like French onion.
These are very small crackers. So what I'm going to do is, make a little sandwich.
That was not part of the deal.
He's helping out, Rudy. He's getting more cracker and less dog food.
Right? See, Rudy.
Oh, is that right?
What I'm going to do is pile the dog food on here, and then put another one on top of it.
Yeah, but you're going to pile a lot on, Don.
The dog food's going to be piled on.
Can we have an arbitrator here, like maybe Mike?
Mike would be fair. All right, I'll let Mike decide.
Okay, Mike. I agree with that.
He was trying to bribe
you. Maybe I should ask Rob. Maybe Christine.
He was trying to bribe you.
Yeah, you know, Rudy put that thing that I said about the hockey games into his column this morning, and I think was that by design because you knew you were coming in here and you wanted to have a friend in here.
No,
wrote what I told you about the hockey game.
I felt that ESPN does an overall better job than Fox.
Okay, so you were being total integrity here,
guys.
Ken Stevens is
a third party.
What's going on here?
A third party who's willing to do this.
Ken will be the arbiter. He will be the great
arbiter. Ken will be the arbiter. Wow. If Don is not piling on too much dog food here.
How you doing, Ken? Welcome to the show.
Good to see you.
Okay. So, Ken, what we're going to be doing is have Rudy eat some dog food off a cracker.
These are a couple of guys in here that might very well still be at the party at about midnight, right. I would figure.
Gonna try to open this baby up now.
Got the old-fashioned can opener there.
Oh.
Olden style, not West State style.
God damn, this smells, doesn't it?
You know, that looks like the kind of dog food that actually has the ingredients on the side of the can.
Mike, let me see as soon as I get the top off here.
I'd like to hear what kind of byproducts are being all whipped up and frappéed into a wonderful can of dog food.
Water, chicken, liver, cracked pearled barley, ground corn, meat byproducts, dried
byproducts. That's the one again.
Natural flavor, vegetable oil, calcium, chloride, potassium, iodized salt, iron oxide, magnesium oxide, zinc oxide,
mercury,
copper sulfate. I mean, it goes on and on. It's nothing but chemicals. It's like, you know the stuff when you have a chicken or a turkey when you take out the bag with all the stuff inside?
Yeah, that's what they chew up.
Right. It's all the bag.
And the chemicals, Rudy, are in there to preserve the goodness.
All the stuff inside the bag. Do we have a spoon? Hey, Christine, do we have a spoon? Thank you, Rob.
I don't think so.
Ken, have you met Christine, our new phone person?
Take a look at her. She's a lot prettier than Cannon, don't you think? Yeah, what did he say?
I didn't hear that. Well, how about on microphone, Ken?
What did you say, Ken?
I didn't hear that comment.
I missed Ken now. All
right, now. Rudy, take a look at this. Look at this crap.
I don't want to take a look at it.
All right, now, Ken, you decide. How about...
Maybe she had some hard dog food.
I like what it says on the cracker. It says, open up a box, make up a snack.
Don is loading up there.
Dear.
Oh, man.
All right, there you go.
He dropped it.
All right, there's your sandwich.
That's too
there
much, Don.
Now, all right, something's falling out.
smells pretty good.
There's dog food all over the place.
All right, here we go.
Hold on.
I can have some water here, can I?
Hold on, Rudy. We want to
get a timpani.
The last time we did it with the cat food, you dug in too early. We want to make a big deal about this.
And Rob, would you make sure that you mic Rudy so that we get every bit of him eating this?
Yeah, it looks like you got a real good portion of that dog.
Yeah, on top.
Oh. I'm going to barf.
Wait,
I'm going to barf just from smelling this stuff.
I think we really want to maximize the dramatic impact. Rudy, are you prepared?
No.
On the count of three. One, two, three. Go.
Yeah.
He didn't eat it all at once. He's taking it in two or three bites. Don't spit it out, Ruby.
Need some water.
Oh, my God.
How is it?
How is it compared to the cat food?
Okay, finish it up, Rudy.
Oh, God. How's that taste, Rudy?
Not good.
Have a little more water.
All right, now you're going to finish it up.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Do any of the journalists...
Can I get a bonus?
Do any of the journalists at USA Today know that you were going to be doing this today?
I'm sure a lot of them did.
You better take some more water.
Yeah,
there's
some more, yeah.
I brushed
my teeth beforehand.
Oh, did you really?
Your reaction
when you ate the cat food was a lot... A lot weaker. You seem to hate this a lot more.
And here's a breath mint for you, Rudy. Don't say I don't care.
Okay, thanks.
There you go.
How is that? What can you compare it to, Rudy?
yeah. This stuff.
Great little spray, right? There.
I tell you, actually.
Yeah, describe it. Describe the taste, please, Rudy.
You're a journalist.
It tastes like spam.
Really?
Oh. Yeah, spam. It's spam.
No, that's bad.
I know that the people at Spam are now delighted that you can have
that. Does everybody always know that Spam dog food, same thing, just different packaging, right?
I know Rob Spiewak probably taking offense to that. Rob, you're a big Spam eater, aren't you?
I'll speak to you later.
Hold on, look at Rudy. Rudy's doing that thing now where you go with your tongue around your teeth to try to get all the stuff out that's in between.
I got Don's candy mint.
Candy mint.
All right, Rudy. Hey, let's go Bulls.
Yeah, well, I'm ready now. I passed the...
Yes,
you did. Yeah. And
you're the man, Rudy. You are. I mean, you are a man who honors his wagers.
Yeah, I do.
You do.
But I'm not making any more. I'm telling you that right now.
You're not going to make any more bets.
Good man.
They're all bad.
Do you have a moment? If we do a break, you can run down the hall and brush your teeth or something.
I'm fine.
And I want to talk to you more when we come back, okay?
Okay.
All right, more with Rupert. Hey, Rudy, as a matter of fact, why don't you get us out of the break? You know the toe tap and touch tones?
Sure.
Go ahead. Rudy, if you would please set up our big call in to win contest now. We'll take caller number 100.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rudy Martsky.
Hey, we'll be right back with caller number 100.
Phone number?
Which one do we give them?
How about your home number?
Yeah, I know. Hey, wait, I don't even know.
1-800.
1-800.
636.
636.
1.
One. One what?
Sounded like somebody broke wind in here. Was that
1-0-1-0-6-7, is it?
Good guess.
Yeah, way to go.
Very good, Rudy.
Okay.
Very good.
Rudy. I listen to the show.
All right.
Yeah, sure you do.
Hey, Rudy. Last question. I know nobody's watching the hockey. Please tell me fewer people are going to be watching soccer, right?
No question. No question. That's the biggest misnomer out there, Don. That actually the people, that all the space is given here and attention is given to World Cup play. And then how the ratings for the World Cup were like twos. A 2-4 and 2-6 for the two games this weekend.
Hey, Buzz, did we beat the Krauts tonight?
I'll check. That was the USA against Germany.
I haven't been watching.
The only reason Don and I were watching that for a second up in the office and watching it to see which sportscasters they were going to put on the back burner.
It.
You did.
I aced it. As soon as I heard the voice, I knew it was the alien-like Bob Lee. He is lame, Rudy. He's like the last. As you rate your ESPN announcers, Bob Lee's got to be way down on the bottom, right?
I gave him a shot today in the column gave him a hype award. We're trying to say that this game on Saturday, there was a Belgium and Holland, like a lot of people could care.
Right. Hype award. Yeah. Bob Lee saying that ABC's Belgium-Netherlands World Cup game could have the most concentrated intensity of any match in the first round. Final score? 0-0.
Now, the USA was shut out today by Germany, 2-0. Play Iran on Sunday.
Oh, we were beaten by the Germans, and now we have to play Iran?
Yes.
Kraus.
Oh, bummer.
I don't trust the Germans.
Yeah, good idea.
You know where I'm from. They're right there from the ticker, red, white, and blue.
And then one of the USA goals came off a guy who was blocking the net and let it go off his hip. So what can you do?
Yeah,
I mean, one of the German goals.
Hey, Rudy, do you have something for us, a nugget that we would not have known if we were not talking to you. And it's nice. I'd like to point out something to everybody listening right now. When it really counted,
yes,
we kicked Germany's ass.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Bully! Bully!
Bully! Twice. Twice, not.
Proud American. Yeah. Rudy Marsky, who served in our Coast Guard.
Hey, you, weren't you in the Coast Guard?
Is that more than most guys in this building?
Hey, you know, there's no comeback for that one. Military service, and we haven't had. Hey,
I was in our motto, and the Coast Guard was...
You were in the what, our motto?
No, our motto...
You mean the Armada?
Our Armada's
motto. Do you mean the motto that you used? M-O-T-T-O?
Yes. Was, don't go in deep water.
Don't go in deep water.
Yeah, the Coast Guard.
You write that one yourself?
Yeah. Yeah.
The same people that wrote Knowledge is Good, Emil Faber?
Yes, yes.
Here is food.
Here is food.
I mean, that was the
food is
movie
good.
That was
Let's
made
eat.
Off my college career. But,
come on, what is your nugget here, Rudy?
John Sally, don't look for him back. He's going to be gone from NBC as of next year.
What was your rank in the Coast Guard? What were you, like, McHale's Navy? Was that what you had?
I'm the third class petty officer, Don. Worked hard on that. You had to do your book work. And if you didn't, you were threatened to be sent to Vietnam.
You know, the Coast Guard does a lot of rescues. Did you do any rescues?
No, but if in the event of a national disaster, we had to guard a government dam in Paducah, Kentucky.
You had to guard a government dam?
Yeah,
is that what you were trying to say?
There's a national crisis.
Guard a government what?
Guard a government dam. When Rudy said it, it came out as... Guard a government dam so nobody would blow it up? So even in the worst case scenario, you'd have to stand on a dam and make sure nobody was bombing it?
They give you a gun? They give you a gun?
Never had one. No.
I had a mop. He's supposed to guard the dam with a mop.
With a mop. Do you have any pictures of you in your uniform?
Probably do.
I give you $20.
Love to see him.
I give you $20 if you send us a picture.
Love to see him.
By the way, Mouse, the other day, going through all sorts of paraphernalia to pack for a trip, guess what? Came across my old Coast Guard uniform.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Oh, I'd love to see that. Was it like a love boat captain's suit? Is that what it's like?
Yeah. I think Charlie would have to wear it now.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You were that skinny, you mean?
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to see a picture
of
you.
Lean fighting machine.
Yeah, okay. Please get a picture.
165 pounds.
You got one picture, right?
Do you have shorts like Gopher did?
In knee socks?
He had skivvies. That's skivvies time.
Skivvies.
Yeah.
Skivvies.
And, of course, in those days, you didn't have a co-ed service.
Which they do now?
No, they haven't all. Most of these military service, except for the Marines.
You ever go to any Coast Guard reunions, Rudy?
No, I missed that.
You ever have any homos in the Coast Guard?
Not that I knew of.
I bet there were some.
I know what they were then, but we were stationed in San Francisco. And
you didn't know what a homo was?
Well, I found out in San Francisco when we were walking down the street.
Oh, really?
How did you find out?
A guy went after the guy I was with. I started feeling left out.
And jealous.
Yeah, right.
You mean the whole time you were growing up, you didn't know what a homo was?
When I got to the end of college, I started knowing what it was. Yes. That was it.
That was after being...
So I still call him that,
being
don't I?
Repeatedly attacked.
All right, Rudy, get out of here.
We'll see you.
We'll see you.
Thank you, Rudy.
Here he is from USA Today. Rudy Martsky.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Sometimes we wish this could be a TV camera in here if you could just see him.
Great appearance, Rudy.
Homo, what's that? I never heard of that.
I didn't know Don until the end of college. Then I was, we're guarding the dam. We had to guard it. If the worst, how about this? If the worst case scenario came through, we had to guard the dam. Sorry, we're out of time.
Again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.